Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, girl.
The television show is called New Girl. Please welcome one of the stars of the show. You know him as Nick. This is Jake Johnson. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. It's purple at the end of it.
And for you as well.
Yeah, for me as well.
You share that with Ray J.
Yeah. Ray J and I have a lot in common. It's both purple at the end of it.
And two hands with a space in between?
No. That's where Ray J and I are very different men.
Yours is just sort of like a port wine stain.
Exactly. Mine's like a knuckle.
I love that.
Wow, man.
Well, welcome to Philadelphia.
Well, thanks for having me.
Have you been here before?
No, this is my first time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you're just doing some press right now, kind of hanging out, making your rounds?
Yeah, we're doing, New Girl sending me around for the end of the season, so we're doing a bunch of cities in a few days.
Okay. Well, I know immediately Kathy over here took to the show right away, just absolutely fell in love with
it. Yeah, when I saw the previews, I'm like, okay, I don't watch a lot of TV. Like, Steve over here watches every show that's ever been aired.
Yeah.
So I pick and I pick and choose what I have time for, and this is my show now. I love it. It's so funny. I love Zooey Deschanel, and then the three of you guys just are just as good as she is. I mean, it's a really great show. I'm really enjoying it.
Thanks, Kathy. That's really nice.
And you guys are so funny on the show. I mean,
you're so geeking out.
I am a little bit. Yeah. The last episode when you went into, I guess, growing tomatoes.
Right.
what?
Well, you do a rooftop garden. Your life is falling apart.
Yes.
And by the way, I agree with Kathy. I love the show.
Thanks,
and I think this was the funniest episode of the year, the last one.
Oh, nice.
Watching your descent into madness has been hilarious. But you try to do this gardening thing, and even my wife was like, yeah, that's how frustrating it can be. So do you have any input into script or character?
It's funny, what I've learned on this TV show is when you start doing a show, you book a part.
Yeah.
And on this one, Nick was a guy who dropped out of law school, pretty smart guy, pretty together. And then supposedly TV writers start writing for you. So now he's going crazy. He can't do anything. He's a loser with the ladies. He's an alcoholic. So I'm like, oh, great. I guess I do have input into Nick.
Sure. It's a bizarre commentary on you.
He'll never go back to law school now that I'm playing the part.
But Kathy's right about the ensemble. And it's sort of like a altered reality because there are bizarre things that can occur. But they're at the core of it is... the fact that you all work, there's a great symmetry between each other. Now, with you and Jess, Zoe's character, right, there is this romantic tension. And what I'm hoping that you sort of Sam and Diane it. That,
wow.
You know, it doesn't hit anything
totally.
Too soon. Do you agree with that?
I do. And Sam and Diane are the ones to model anything after.
Right, yeah.
Anything you can touch near Cheers for TV shows, it's just the best. To be honest, with our show, Liz Merriweather, who's our head writer, she's very smart with things.
Did she create the show?
She created
it. Yeah, yeah.
She did No Strings Attached, and then by doing that, she was able to do this show. And she's got a great handle on the Nick Jess stuff, because a lot of people really want something to happen.
Yeah.
And something's going to happen. But how they handle it is really... it's a big thing with this show. If you're a fan of this show and they screw that up, we can be in a little bit of trouble.
I love watching you, though, and you, currently you're... Troublesome ex is back in your life, which is actually Charlie Day's wife.
Yeah. And Sonny, yeah.
Yeah, who's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it cool working with her? And are you a Sonny fan?
I am a Sonny fan. Yeah, and she's awesome. We've had unbelievable guest stars with Dermot Mulroney and Martin Starr and Lizzie Kaplan. Justin Long is hilarious.
The role playing in last week's episode.
Oh my god! Well, they replayed it. That one actually wasn't new, but when she role plays with Justin Long, because she's
ridiculous.
Not really good in bed. But you know what? Steve pointed out to me. I didn't realize that this is what was happening, but how they kind of scaled back her goofiness, I guess, on the show, and kind of made her like the mom, a little bit more of a mom to you guys, and like trying to get you on the right path.
That's interesting.
She's a little bit more of a voice of I mean, she's still lovably, eccentric, but she's not, clinically insane.
Right.
So I think that works to you guys. We love watching your characters. I mean, Schmidt and everybody,
totally.
The characters all get along. Had you guys at all worked with each other prior to this?
No, I didn't know any of these guys. The way it happened is Zoe got attached, you know, and then once you've got her, you're going to build around it. And the guy who plays Schmidt, Max, and I, we actually auditioned on the same day.
Oh.
And they did the chemistry test where they brought us in. And Max and I, like Nick and Schmidt, we really like each other. And we're really opposite.
Had you guys ever met before then?
We hadn't. We
just got thrown together.
We met in the room going in and everything.
So just the luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
Wow.
Did you guys actually audition together? Like, did you go in together?
We both went in individually, and then they do a thing called like a chemistry test where we have to read with Zoe. And so each of us read with Zoe, and then when they were really considering us, they put us next to each other to see if the show would work with, you know, us two on either side of her. And instantly walking in, he's making fun of the heftiness of my jeans, and I'm telling him he's wearing lady jeans, and we're like, I think we're gonna be friends.
Well, that's very, very similar.
Yeah, he walked in, he's like, man, you look terrible, and I'm like, you honestly look like a lady. And it's like, yeah, good to meet you, man.
Talking about clothing choice, I have to ask this because I was watching the episode where you guys were on the beach, and you go into the, you look naked.
Oh, yes, the running into the ocean.
Running into the ocean. Do they have you wear a sock or what?
You know,
are you naked?
To be perfect, it's the episode at the end of it. My character loses his mind and runs into the ocean at 2 a.m. And we can't fake that, so I had to run in. It would have been less humiliating if I was naked, because they put you in this, like, you know, creamy panty.
Really?
It's all I can call it.
Is that what you wear?
Yeah. It's like worse than like a lady panty. And you, like, the crew is like 60 dudes, and you're just like standing there in these cream panties, and you're like, just humiliate me and say, get naked, idiot, and run into the water.
Does that even remotely hide your junk, though,
no,
if it's that tight?
No, everybody sees the junk, especially when you jump into a freezing ocean.
Yeah.
At 2 a.m. And I remember I'm starting with a purple knuckle. So we're not ending like King Kong down there. Yeah.
You're saying it's a mess to begin with.
I mean, I'm not winning races at the start.
That's funny.
All right, so as a person, have any interest in music? Not as an actor, you know, just you. Are you a musician or anything along those lines?
I'm not, no.
So you don't connect with Zoe on that level?
You know, I'll be honest, I like listening to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a guy who, like, loves going to karaoke.
Right. Because I saw she does this Apple commercial for the iPhone, and walks into this one room where she's talking to Siri, and I saw that there was a banjo in the room. And I'm like, does she ever break out the banjo?
She does.
Does she really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
You know, it really is. It's our hair and makeup trailer where, you know, you got to go the first hour of every day.
Mm-hmm.
She has instruments, and she'll play. And she's like a real musician, so it's not weird or annoying. It's like a weird concert for 6 people. You know, like certain people always jam on the guitar, but they're not very good. And you have to be like, right on, man, cool.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin rules, dude. Please stop playing. She's legitimately good.
That's awesome. You've been in a couple of things. We were talking before the break started here about Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
Right.
You played Jesus.
That's right.
In a short scene. And you said working with Neil Patrick Harris was kind of a mind blower.
Yeah, he's just a 100% pro.
Yeah, yeah.
And really funny. But that was a crazy day because, you know, if you saw the movie, Jesus is up in heaven and there's a bunch of strippers.
Right, he's running like a nightclub.
He's running like a nightclub. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the way they found all these strippers in the Detroit area, they just went to the strip clubs and said, do you want to be in a movie with Neil Patrick Harris?
Right.
And they all came out. And I thought for sure, this is going to be a weird day at work, but I'm going to be basically like shunned by these strippers.
Right.
Because I look like Jesus. The amount of creepy sex vibes I got from these strippers, I was like, oh, there's a thing.
If there's a Jesus,
there's a thing.
Wow.
And to this day, I can't wrap my brain around that one.
That's weird.
Another
historical figure besides Jesus that you played is in one of my favorite online series is Aaron Burr in
Drunk History.
And that series, I don't know
that
who came
you.
Up with it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's just brilliant. Yeah. And so the conceit is obviously they get a historian to tell the actual history of something. And Michael Cera was a part of your
That's
series
right.
as well, too. So how did that come about for you?
Well, the creator of it is a guy named Derek Waters. He just did a pilot for it for Comedy Central.
So hopefully
it's going to be a show next year.
A real full-blown series.
He gets in like a bus and goes to city to city.
Awesome.
And these are the ones where these people get hammered, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, vomiting.
But experts.
Wasted. Yeah.
And then
professors.
Then they reenact it.
I love that
series. Well, that started, actually. Derek was over at my house in Los Angeles. This was years ago, and we started playing heads-up quarters against each other.
All right.
Okay.
And so one-on-one quarters, Yeah. You know, it's not going to end great.
No, it's tough.
And I've got a story about Otis Redding that to this day I believe to be true.
I read about that. Tell the story quickly if you
well,
can.
Well, here's the quick version of it. Otis Redding and his wife, you know, wrote all their songs together.
Yeah.
She drove him to the airport one day. He stops. He gets on the small private plane. He stops, gets off the plane, goes to the car, and he says, "No matter what happens, be good."
Right.
She goes, "Otis, you're crazy." He goes, "Be good." Mm-hmm. She goes, "All right, I'll be good." He gets on the plane. The plane crashes and he dies.
Right.
I told that story to Derek at probably 3 in the morning after I would probably say 19 Miller Lights.
Right, right.
I thought this guy's getting emotional. What a storyteller
right.
I
right,
am.
Right, yeah.
The next morning he calls me up. He goes, "My buddy Jeremy Connor is going to come by. We're going to buy a bunch of beer. We're going to get drunk, and I need you to tell that story again." And I go, I thought, like, wow, what a storyteller. What a great right. guy I am. And
sure.
I go, "Why?" And he goes, "Because the alcohol was making you lie so much." But he goes, "I want to get people to reenact it and have Otis Redding tell you in the middle, 'Shut up, you're drunk.'" And I was like, "No way, dude, no." And then he goes, "Fine, I'm going to get somebody else. Will you be one of the actors?" Then we got our buddy Gagliardi to come and get drunk and do it.
That's wow. great.
And that was the origin.
That's great.
Of it.
And then so the Aaron Burr one came about with Sarah?
Yeah, then the Aaron Burr one was, you know, our buddy Mark came, got drunk, and did it. And it was supposed to be Jason Ritter and myself.
Okay.
He bailed last minute. And Mike Sarah was like, "Sure." And then that one kind of took off yeah. online.
Oh, it's so funny.
I have to, I was reading about you, and you, for a little while, made. You're living as a gambler?
Yes.
You were paid by the... Explain what it was. You were paid by the casinos to gamble?
Well, California casinos are shady, so if you go... I mean, believe it or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Believe it, yeah, yeah. In bad neighborhoods in California, the casinos are shady.
Yeah, yeah.
Life lessons.
Right. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, you can't gamble against the house. So if you play blackjack, you don't play against the casino because it's technically a gaming room.
Right.
So you're playing against the other players, so somebody has to represent the house.
So you're the conduit, you're the human face of the casino at that point.
That's right, but I don't work for the casino. I just worked for this, like, Chinese dude who started a company.
Wow.
So it wasn't actually a business through the casino. Anybody can do it. We were called the corporation.
Okay.
And we would try to buy the house, but you could then hire us, and you could be the house, and I would bet against you.
So did you take the winnings?
No, I got, like, a small percentage if we won a lot, but it was really... You know, as a day job when I moved, I made like $14 an hour. It was wow. just fun to like not be catering a wedding.
You were paid to gamble. How cool
was
that?
Yeah. It was good until I started dreaming and the currency in my dreams were chips. And I became a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
Up to that point, Steve, it was very cool.
That was the downside. Yeah.
If you're just jumping in with us, this is Jake Johnson, who's on The New Girl. He plays Nick. But you've also got a movie, Safety Not Guaranteed. That's coming out in June. What's that about?
That's about, it's a movie I'm really proud of. It's Aubrey Plaza, Mark Duplass, myself. It's about a guy who made a real classified ad saying that he had the ability to time travel, and he was looking for a partner to go back in time with him, and you had to bring your own weapons, and your safety wasn't guaranteed. So, yeah.
This is based on a true story?
It really happened. A guy really put this in the classified.
Wow, yeah.
So the writer of this movie thought, let's do a fictional story of who this guy is. So my character is a reporter from Seattle who grabs an intern played by Aubrey Plaza. We find this guy to figure out if this time machine is real or not. And, you know, a romance happens and there's laugh and there's heart. And we did it at Sundance and South by Southwest. And it's been kind of
Aubrey's hot. I think yeah. she's in a geeky way. She's from Parks and Recreation.
She's from Parks. Funny people.
Yeah. But she is she that person? Is she that...
Mousy?
She's tough.
She's yeah. tough, yeah?
I mean, she's one of my good friends. Yeah,
yeah.
She's tough.
Is she?
Yeah, well. She's fun.
Okay, that's cool. So the character on Parks and Recreation, that's who she is.
There's some truth to that.
There's some truth to that.
I just got an instant message that says, this guy is the absolute man. His character on New Girl has got to be one of my favorites in comedy in a long time.
Nice. Awesome.
Do not say who wrote that message, and then we're in good shape.
All right.
Written by Jakey J.
But I also saw we're on your Twitter account right now, and this is great. I don't know where you're flying from, but apparently the guy next to you was sleeping with his mouth open and
he looks
snoring.
Like he's in a coma, dude.
That was last night.
You took a picture of him?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It was so loud that before we took off, I thought there was engine problems. I was like looking down at a book and I heard like a huh, huh, and I was like, come on, dude. We haven't started
that's
flying,
funny.
Pal.
Oh, no.
Do you ever get confusion with Jack Johnson?
I do, actually, yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah.
What about Jake Johansson?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, I haven't got that.
Really? Because Preston read your name last week, because it was coming in this week, and I thought, no, Preston misread that, obviously. Jake Johansson's coming in. He's a comedian. Turns out it's you.
No, when I first looked at it, I thought it was Jack Johnson.
Oh, really?
I did,
this is disappointing, then, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I won't ever do that again. No. I apologize.
It was haunting, though.
Yeah, exactly. Remember I said I don't sing? That's kind of why.
There is the proof.
That's kind of why.
How many episodes of New Girl have you guys made?
We shot 24 the first season. Excellent. And we just got picked up for another 24.
How cool is that?
It's awesome.
It is the breakaway hit for, I mean, it's the thing everyone's talking about. Is it simultaneously wonderful and nerve-wracking, or
it was
all wonderful?
It was really freaky through December.
Yeah.
The beginning run of it, when you're figuring out, and you guys probably know this, but what it's like to wake up at 5 in the morning every day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, your friends call and they're like, you want to come out? And I'm like, sure, if we can end by 9:30.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the drill?
Yeah. We were like, awesome, let's party hard at 5 p.m. so that I pass out by 8:45.
That's exactly it.
That was a big adjustment.
Yeah.
But then once you get used to that, it's great having a job. And I love the people I work with, so it's really fun.
Cool. Well, you know what, man? And right now, anytime you go by a newsstand, you will see Zoe's face.
Yeah.
And so many
everywhere.
Different
everywhere.
She's so photogenic.
Yeah.
And quirky and fun and a nice change from, I mean, she's beautiful in her own way, as opposed to the kind of glossy, too good looking, thing. And,
totally.
And I think right now people are really enjoying that. And that's great advertisement for the show, obviously. Seeing her all over the place.
She's hilarious. And the thing is, though, they put her in situations that I think women just connect to immediately. The whole thing with Patrick Dempsey and that relationship that went asunder was, her awkwardness, I think. And all of you guys, you all have very tangible, realistic foibles that the average viewer goes, F and A, that's exactly it,
Yeah.
So
she's really great.
Yeah,
she's
very cool.
Are you a sports fan at all?
I am.
What's your sport?
Well, I don't want to say.
Hey, tennis?
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, you see your Cubs fan?
Yeah, I was at the game last night. I caught a foul ball.
No way!
I'm carrying it around with me like a binky all day.
Who hit it?
Jimmy Rollins in the eighth inning.
No kidding!
Yeah.
Oh, wait, then you got to be on TV.
I that's what we were thinking. We just sat down. It popped up. We caught it.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll find it. We'll look for it.
Jimmy Rollins.
Okay.
They're
showing up. They're showing up.
There's nothing on here. Where's that sound coming from?
That's me, by the way.
Is that true?
Having a tirade on air.
No, it was off air.
What the
My computer kept making noise, and they were recording, and this is...
Where's that sound coming from?
It was fun. It was a weak moment for me. All right. But in the meantime, we have to give a farewell to Jake. It's very cool to meet you, sir.
Great to meet you, Preston.
And good luck with everything and the new movie. And obviously, New Girl continues on. That's on Fox 29. Jake Johnson.
Yeah!
Thank you, guys. Great to meet everybody.
Take care, man. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay where you are.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
There was a bizarre little thing that Casey mentioned to me yesterday. Actually, we were all talking. And I wanted him to present this because I have a feeling that people might see something similar from time to time. There is a... Is it nearby here?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, a quarter of a mile away. I can't think of... I guess it's...
Presidential.
Is it presidential? All right, because that's the street that 6ABC and NBC are on.
The Target intersection.
Yes. Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, presidential.
Okay.
May I preface this before you tell us exactly what this is? How long have you noticed this anomaly?
Months.
Yeah. Months? Okay.
Months.
I thought it was longer than that.
No, I mean, well, I don't... It had to have at least...
Would you
been
say
this
a
entire
year?
This entire year, let's say.
Okay.
Let's say this entire year, because I go out to lunch with Chuck here in our office. We go out, I don't know, like once a week or something like that. And oftentimes we'll go to like a Potbelly, Chipotle,
right,
or somewhere over where that Target is. And there has been this hubcap. And by the way, the hubcap is now disintegrated, all right? And it's now just a rim of a hubcap that is sitting in the middle of that intersection, and it has been there for months.
The middle of the intersection?
All right, it is in, I would guess, if you're on Route 1 heading south, okay. It's in the southbound lanes.
Okay.
So it's actually in the street?
It's in the street.
It's not on the shoulder.
Not on the shoulder.
Wow.
I think I was wrong. I think that might be Monument.
I thought it was Monument.
Yeah, I think it's Monument.
Yeah. Then it's at the intersection of Route 1 and Monument. And this.
Would you now notice if it was gone? Would you notice that it was missing?
Yes.
Because I had a similar thing like this. So would you think back? Think back as long as you can.
It's always been there.
It's always been there.
Yeah. Casey, I know what you're talking about. Because yeah. if you come off a Monument, you make a left. Like mm-hmm. when we're leaving, you kind of have to.
I go over it.
Yeah, you have to swerve to not hit it.
I drive over it every day.
You drive over it?
I'm like, hey, there you are. All right, cool. You're still there. Good to know that you're still there.
Right. Something about it means that God is in his heaven.
Everything is right in the world. Right.
I had a thing where before they started construction to fix Ridge, you'd come down and there would be a sweater, like a red sweater in the bushes. And even though they'd mow the area or whatever, there'd be this, and I would joke. I'd say, that's where Freddy Krueger died. And it was always there.
Is it still there?
No. Uh-oh. Because of construction. The only way to have that sweater removed from that area was to rebuild the entire street.
Right.
But it was, I can see it clearly in my mind. It's always there. It was always, I guess, you know, through bad weather, through good weather, it was there. Yeah. That little sweater in the same spot. And it's one of these things.
Well, this neighbor on my street, he lives on the corner. There was, for months, there was an orange juice container there in his bush. It just sat there. And it was on the side of his house that I would imagine he doesn't check all the time.
Right.
And it wasn't like this. It was big. I mean, it's, you know, Florida orange juice. And it was there for months. And, like, my neighbor pointed it out to me. And then it was there every single time. And then the one day, hey, you're not there anymore.
Do you feel in a way that if you were to move it, that you would F up something?
Well, I didn't want to move
the balance.
I just wanted to see how long.
Where's my orange container? Right. Now my daughter's going
to
die.
I just wanted to leave it there just to see how long it sits there. Just to see how long.
I don't know if you saw the Twilight Zone episode. The guy had to, he had all these bizarre objects in his house.
Yeah.
Anything moved out, like an island would disappear in the Pacific or something that. Yeah. It was keeping the world in balance and check. Maybe these little things lying around are a
Jackie Mason would explode if you removed that orange container.
Oh, my God. We can't have that.
Oh, I should have moved it.
So now you didn't tell your neighbor that he had this garbage sitting on the side of his house?
Actually, he's a neighbor that I don't talk to because he's all the way up at the end of the street.
He's the garbage neighbor.
Yeah, he's the garbage neighbor.
You would just see it driving by?
Yeah, because every time I have to turn, I have to drive past his house, and there it is. Hi, orange juice container.
No, as stupid as that sounds.
And it's very stupid, but I understand it.
I know that, like, mentally, I have seen little things like that, whether it be like a little, I don't know, a rag hanging on a piece of, on a fence or something like that, and you're just like, there it is again. Still
like
there.
Like the Freddy Krueger sweater. Mm-hmm.
Checking. Hold on, let me go to Matt. Matt, how you doing?
Jose!
What's up, man?
Hi, man. Every day, a couple of months ago, I would drive to work up in Bucks County on Upper Stump Road, and there was a deer on the side of the road, and nobody came to claim it or take it away or anything like that, and I watched that thing disintegrate from a full-bodied dead deer into a skeleton.
Yeah.
And when they finally took it away, I felt like having a funeral for it or something.
Are you kidding? It got down to skeleton level?
There was nothing left except bones and horns. That was it.
Matt, I have watched decomposition in progress as well.
Really?
Like, not a deer, but like a possum or a smaller animal, and you'll see it when it's fresh, and then... Sure enough, it's still there. And it's almost like watching a biology experiment as it slowly decomposes.
It looks like something out of Dances with Wolves.
The deer horns, do they have horns or what are they?
Like, antlers?
Antlers.
Rantlers?
Yeah. Interesting.
Rantlers.
Rantlers, exactly. Yeah. All right, thanks, Matt. I appreciate
Rantlers.
It. Nick, what is this?
You got to read this text. There was a dead raccoon on my 295 on-ramp for 6 months, and it was frozen initially when it died. They nicknamed the dead raccoon Bruce Willis. But it was there for 6 months.
So this must have been in the winter months?
Yeah, I guess so.
Bruce Willis. That's good. Name your roadkill.
Sure. That's awesome.
It'll bring you closer
to it.
Makes it
more personal.
Hang on. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much, brother. What's up?
Hey, there's this 40 bottle, like, right outside your neighborhood on 113.
My
like,
neighborhood?
Yeah, if you made a right out of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
On the left-hand side, like, not even a quarter mile heading towards Skipack.
Yeah.
There's this 40 bottle there for, like, 2 years, right on the edge of the grass.
Is it still there?
I don't know. I haven't been home in a while, but it was there for, like, ever, like, through the winter and summer, and then another winter and summer. It was still there.
Chris, when was the last time you saw it?
Oh, man, I haven't been home in, like, a year. But it
so,
was
Chris.
Like, when I still, like, a year ago.
Is it, like, right by where the clubhouse is?
It's, like, yeah, a little bit further down. There's this white house right there. It's
all right.
A quarter mile.
I will look for that today. Thank
look
you.
Look for that bottle.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man.
So your hubcap is still out there, Case?
It's still there. It's there. Right? We could send somebody, and they could take a picture, and they would show it to you. It used to be a full hubcap, and now I guess enough cars have run over it that it's just a ring.
Well, so
it's
shouldn't
a
somebody,
giant silver ring.
Somebody can go right now.
Yeah.
I want to see it. And can we send one intern to just head over with a digital camera? And
I'm fine back? With that.
Yeah. Where exactly, Case?
It is at the intersection of Route 1 and Monument.
Okay.
And it's on the southbound lane side. So, like, if you were making a left from Monument onto Route 1 North, you would have to drive over it like I do every time.
I hope that it never disappears because I really want to. I want to drive over it today.
Right? Somebody's going to take it.
Somebody says, here's an instant message that says, maybe this can explain Casey's missing G.I. Joe DNA.
You know, nothing can ever explain that. I have the case. I have no idea where that thing
I was watching it
went.
Over the weekend, Case.
Was it good?
It's actually okay.
Man,
yeah,
I want
it's actually
to see
okay.
That.
And I actually wept at the end of it because I realized you lost your DVD.
Can I borrow yours?
Well, I was actually on TV.
Oh, so, yeah. Son of a bitch. This like one, on cable?
It's on cable.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Another instant message says, how about the full car bumper on 95 South for 3 months now? I don't know where on 95 South, but I wouldn't doubt
doesn't
it.
Doesn't that blow your mind when something, that kind of refuse just sits there? Don't you figure that there's like street cleaning or, you know?
Yeah,
something.
That somebody comes by and says, hey, this huge chunk of shrapnel sitting here.
Hang on. Let me go to Robert. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Morning. What's up, man?
There is a bush, and do you ever see like shapes in there? Oh, it looks like a dog, looks like a cat.
Right.
Well, this one is in the shape of a penis. A huge penis. It's a bush on the entrance as you get on to the turnpike on Willow Grove.
Okay. There is okay.
So six on 611, and you're going to get on the turnpike headed east or west.
It doesn't matter because you're getting on the turnpike.
Okay. All right. So yeah, because you got to go through the tolls. Yeah.
Exactly. It's on the right hand side, and we've been watching this thing grow. For the last 5 years.
Robert, is it before or after you go through the toll?
It's before you get on the toll.
Okay. We need right. someone to take a picture.
Yeah.
If you're out in Willow Grove and you're going, and you can you can clearly make it out, Robert. It clearly looks like a penis bush.
Absolutely, 100%. We thought that somebody cut it that way and shaped it. But my son and I, since he was 13 years old, he's now 18, we've been watching this thing grow. He was the one who found it.
You've been watching it for 5 years? And nobody's noticed this.
Nobody's noticed it.
He's been watching a penis grow for five years.
All right, so somebody sees that penis bush. It's off the, where is it as you're coming up to the tolls?
It's on the far right-hand side of the toll as you're getting on at the Willow Grove on-ramp.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, I want to see a picture of that. Well, thank you, Robert. You know what? If you can take a picture of it, you know right where it is. Send it over to us.
Yes, I will.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate
There's
it.
There's a bunch of girls hanging around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Let me see here. I'm going to, let's go to Doug. Hey, Doug, how you doing, man?
Gadzooks.
What's up, buddy?
I moved to Delaware about 3 years ago, and I live on Churchman's where there's an overpass next to the Toys R Us and Cheeseburger Paradise. When I first moved there, there was this green, this container with a green top on it. And there's homeless guys that always used to be there. And anyway, this container's been there for 3 years with some kind of food in it, and it's still there today. And every time I pass by with a buddy, I'm like, dude, I totally would give you $100 if you open that thing up.
Oh, my God.
So there is a container that's been in the same spot for 3 years that has some sort of green substance in it.
Well, I don't even know. I think originally it was, like, maybe chicken or something, or it might have had actual food in there.
Jar of chicken?
I don't know what it was. I wouldn't open it. I don't know if I would take $100 to open it, but it's been sitting there so long that whatever it was, it's turned to a mush form, and it's still there right now. And I pass by it every morning, and I look at it like, I just really want to know what's inside.
Dude, at this point, it's probably become self-aware.
Yeah.
It might open. It might grab you and pull you in.
Right.
Doug, do you ever think today is the day? Today is the day. It's going to be gone, or I'm going to stop by and get it, or something along those lines.
Well, I know if I'm ever ready to die, that may be the way to do it.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Doug.
There was on the trail that I go every day, and I take different routes, but I go to the Wissahickon, you know, park area, and there was a steamer trunk that was partially open and looked like it had movie posters in it. And I, for some reason, I was not going to go anywhere near this thing. I was sure there was some curse or something associated with it. But out in the middle of the woods, a steamer trunk.
Helicopter.
Dude, you got to go check that out.
What if there's gold and diamonds in there?
No, it's gone now. Oh. But it sat there, and it's like, what? Like, how does it end up out in the middle of the woods? Hey, get rid of that steamer trunk full of movie posters.
Or these woods behind O'Hara, there was, and I don't know how the hell any of this stuff got back there, but there were old cars.
Oh, dude, yeah. No. When I was a kid, there was an area, and there was a big wooded area. We used
out
to go
in the middle of the woods?
The woods, and there was a car, two cars, and they were just, you know, they were beat, they were run down, all grown over and
they
stuff
just
like
abandoned
that.
Them out there?
Yeah.
Cars, really? Like, and this is where we had that guy who was living in the woods, the mountain man.
Yeah.
I guess he set up camp there, but there was cars, old refrigerators, and that's fine that you want to like dump your stuff, but I mean, you got to carry it through all this thick.
Yeah, how did you get it there in the first place?
It's got to be an easier way than walking a refrigerator deep into the woods.
Right.
We'll go to Walt. Walt, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, I live in Chester, and right on where I live, the road is, you take it down towards 95, there's an on-ramp to where 322 is.
Yes.
There's a couch sitting there. It's been there for 6 months.
A couch?
Nobody's moved it. Yeah, a couch.
So we should just go
sit
on it.
I moved it like last week, but I wanted to get out and just sit on it and have a sign posted.
Sure. Just sit there.
It was crazy. It just sat there, and they finally got rid of it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks.
You know that one sign that was making its round on the internet. It's a picture of a cat, a dead cat on the side of the road, where it just says "free cat"
pointed at the cat. I know.
I love that. But there's another one that's making the rounds. It's a dead deer on the side of the road, and somebody bought some "get well soon" balloons and tied it to its leg.
Oh my God. There was somebody I think it might have been in St. Louis before I moved out here, and for a while they were starting to dress roadkill.
Oh, were they?
Go and put clothing on it, yeah.
Do you remember
just
that?
Just to dress it up a little.
It was one morning we were coming into work, and it was a deer had been hit by a truck.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it was
scattered
on
everywhere.
The blue route. I mean, it looked like Midnight Meat Train. It was just blasted all.
Yeah,
I mean,
the whole lane was just red.
All the lanes were just blasted with deer pulp.
Remember, I thought there was a dead pig on the side of the Schuylkill. It looked like a pig.
And what was it?
I don't know.
Find out? No,
I don't know. But it sat there forever.
It's just a human.
Just
being.
A human being.
Let me go to. Hold on, Brian wants to explain the penis-shaped bush. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, my theory on the penis-shaped bush is that the deer are coming in at night, and for some reason they always chew on the lower stuff, and they leave the top untouched.
Brian, is it possible that they're doing that to make the bush look like a penis?
You know what? If they're perverted deer, I would.
Yeah.
They're trying to make us laugh.
That's not necessary. I don't know if just eating the bottom would give it a penis shape.
No, because you got to eat you got to do the veins and the.
Right. Well, I don't know the detail.
The helmet, the whole thing. The
nature of this particular penis shrub or bush or whatever.
It's
it is,
a lot of work. I think your average deer is not smart enough to do all the veins and stuff.
I'll have to see a picture of it to determine that. Let me see here. I'm going to go to. Let's go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Morning, guys.
Morning, bud. What's up?
On the way down to the shore, the back road's taking like 55 to 49. Mm-hmm. On the right-hand side, there's like this scarecrow made of a bunch of junk. It just pops out of the trees out of nowhere. There's trees for like miles down there. I've been going down the shore for 20 years. I can't remember it not being there.
Wait, just when 55 ends, right before you get to 47?
No, right when you get on to 49, you might drive like maybe 3 or 4 miles down 49, and then on the right-hand side, there's a scarecrow. It comes out of nowhere.
All right, I gotta look. I did that drive twice over the last week. I have to look for it next time. So when you're heading south,
it's on your right-hand side going down to South Jersey.
So okay. You're saying 49, but I always went down 47. Is there a 49 that I don't know of?
Yeah, I think
59
to 49.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's called the Scarecrow Highway.
So it's just made out of junk, and it doesn't appear to be it's not a functional scarecrow. It's just
I mean, if you're ever on 49, it's just trees for miles, and then this thing is just, it's somewhere in the tree line. I'll have to check the mile marker next time I'm on it. Please. But it's just there every once in a while. I'll catch it every other time I go.
Do you know it's wild when you see those memorial things that people said a car accident has taken place in some spot?
Yep.
And they'll be so ornate and so distracting that you almost get into an accident?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like O'Hara, my high school, and I love O'Hara, but they had a wrecked car in front of the school this past spring. And I've seen it before where it's like mothers against drunk driving or students against
drunk. This will show you what it's like, yeah.
There was a wrecked car, and it says it had something to do with distracted driving. And I was like, well, what the hell do you think you're doing to me right now? You put a sign.
Me.
Yeah, you're distracting me. You're putting a sign on there that actually is very wordy.
Yeah.
You know, like, so now I'm reading it, and it's in smaller font. You're distracting me, and it's right in a curve. There's a curve in the road right where the car is.
So you're saying what they do is they just take out the old car and put in the new wrecks?
Whatever the new wrecks happen. Yeah, yeah. They just swap them out. All right, so are we sending someone down to get your hubcap or no?
We sent somebody?
Really?
Yes.
Are they going to take a picture or to bring it back?
An interview.
We're going to do an interview with the hubcap. I did get an email from a guy named Natty J, and he just graduated from St. Joe's 2 years ago, and he says he remembers a hubcap from 2 years ago.
And hubcap he remembers from 2 years
ago. This hubcap?
Yeah, it can't be, because I'm guessing with the snow removal, it had to have been like pushed.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. You don't know.
And we didn't get any snow.
What kind of spirit? What kind of, you know, maybe this is a determined hubcap. Gets pushed off to the side. But the fact that it got whittled down to simply just a ring shows a lot of time out on the street.
Yeah. Somebody here in some message said that they have seen the penis bush, and they said it's right next to the taint tree.
Okay. Yes.
Taint tree.
In case you're interested.
I think the bears eat the tree to make it look like a taint.
I want to see the picture of that, because I get over that way from time to time, and I would like to, of course, take a good look at it.
I want to see that bottle that's near your house. It's been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'll look for that.
I want to see the green slime in the jar that the guy believes was jarred chicken.
Yes. And we got to see the hubcap, obviously.
The hubcap.
Which got to start.
Wait, hang on 1 second, Preston, because there's a tweet that just came in at Casey, and it was retweeted on the Preston and Steve account.
Okay.
Oh,
we lose it.
Son of a bitch. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay.
But here, Casey, is this it? Can you see by this fence, by the black fence?
Hang on.
That's not it?
No.
It's in the middle of the road.
It's tough
to
see.
Okay.
Well, he says it's in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
It is in the middle of the road.
That picture is not.
No.
All right.
And that wouldn't be
He's taking a look right now. We got to validate. You can't just go all willy-nilly and choose the wrong hubcap.
I mean, come on.
It's a sign.
We're professionals.
Where are we after that?
No.
Not it?
That's not it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there we go.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. We could have erroneously reported on the wrong hubcap.
That was on the northbound side, I believe, as well.
Professionals.
So.
I know we have to take a break.
Be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have a portion of our guests in here, so we can go ahead and get on this. We've been playing a clip of this music and not telling you exactly who it is, and I'm going to play this again for you. And you know what? I've gotten a few instant messages of people who have found out, who narrowed it down.
They
figured out who it is. But I'll play something that will definitely give you an idea of who we're talking about. And are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Here we go. That pretty much clears it up for you.
Yeah.
Hey, the gang from Hanson is here this morning. Taylor, Isaac, and Zach.
Yes!
Good morning. Woo! Taylor and Isaac are here. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Let me turn the microphone on.
We don't need mics. We're just going to scream across the room.
we're singers, so we can project across the entirety.
That wasn't a very subtle reveal, actually. It was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, well, a lot of people were guessing. We were trying to hold this big sort of secretive thing, but apparently a lot of people were IMing and they already guessed who it was.
Well,
so
that's awesome.
Cool. We saw your guys' tour bus out in the parking lot, so thanks for waking up 2 minutes ago, I'm sure.
That's okay, man. We just roll out of bed and they're like, okay, you're going that way. We're like, okay, lead us.
Oh, man.
I was trying to get you guys in at 9 o'clock, mate, because you guys are going to perform this morning. And what I didn't want was for you to wake up and then have to perform and sing. I wanted warm your voice up a little bit. So you think you'll be ready to do that?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I mean, because seriously, you definitely dig down deep when you're singing and stuff. But the song that we're playing, it was called Great Divide. And, we lifted off of your MySpace page. I want to let you guys know that you were written up in Rolling Stone magazine. Yeah. There was a station in Chicago, Q101, who had played the song straight up for a week and didn't tell their listeners who it was. And it was the most requested song of the entire week.
Yeah, it's blown up.
Hey.
Yeah.
There we go.
There he is. Wakey,
here.
Wakey.
That's me. The third Hanson arrived.
It's kind of awesome for Zach to just kind of like walk in halfway through. Hey, you guys doing an interview? Oh, awesome.
Actually,
cool.
I'll
just join you.
I remember a very funny Zach walking into an interview moment.
It was the same scenario.
Oh,
do
share.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, guys, I got to go to the bathroom. 20 minutes later, where is everybody?
and walking in on live TV, or like, so where's Zach? Well, we said, well, what do we say? And then Mike and I
said, Zach's in the bathroom.
And he goes, well, tell him to come when he's finished. He's like, okay. So interview goes, and here comes Zach.
What show was it? Do you remember?
It was a show in... Was it Australia?
It's in Australia. I don't remember what, but what I do remember was that the host started playing a sousaphone. For those of you who don't know what a sousaphone is, it's kind of like a tuba. But a little bit bigger, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's the kind that wraps around, like you see in a marching band, right?
And then we woke up. I mean, sorry.
Well, we want to welcome you guys, first of all, to Philadelphia. You're going to be playing the Electric Factory tonight. And you know what? I have to admit this. I've been a fan, or at least of Mbop. I mean, I really dug. I've worked in modern rock radio and rock radio, and kind of had to hide that fact a little bit because it was
went to a support group, an ancient support group.
It was such a top 40 hit, And here I'm trying to be Mr. Cool Radio DJ when I actually quietly I really like that song. I have it on my iPod, so. I gave you guys a couple bucks there or whatever it cost.
Awesome.
But my respect lies in the fact that you guys at that age writing that humongous Mongo hit record, you wrote it yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's a huge,
and played it.
Huge achievement.
Absolutely.
How old were the three of you when that hit, when that broke?
Well,
when
it broke. It's been 10 years since the first record. So, I mean, Zach was 11. Ike was 16. I was 14. Yeah.
That's when we thought Zach was a girl.
No, actually, correct that. It was me that they thought was a girl.
Really?
Yeah. I am officially the Chicken Hansen.
Ah! You know what? You're taking one for the team. That's awesome.
No, well,
luckily, he's never taken one for the team.
Actually, literally. There's no team good enough that I could take one for the team.
So that, I mean, what was the deal? You're Preston's right. I mean, for you to have that ability at that age to do that,
sing those harmonies so well. Yeah.
I mean, I assume it's a simultaneous blessing and a curse in that the fear is you peak early and then you're not taken as credible. But I mean, you guys obviously established you're competent musicians.
Well, we've just kind of kept on doing what we set out to do, which was just be a band, and somehow or another, we were lucky enough that we have fans 10 years later, I don't know.
It's the kind of thing where we say you have to be able to not turn it off.
It's the kind
of thing where when you're that age, if you go out there and start a band and start playing gigs when you're, 14 years old.
Right.
It's got to be something that's just so intrinsic to who you are. It's like
you
can't push it away.
6, 9, and 11 years old, which was when we really started. Yeah. There was Zach, 6 years old, and Zach sitting there singing and stuff. And then in between, we're like, "You cool? Yeah, all right." And go to the next. Yeah, all
but
right.
I mean, the thing is, like 10 years. It's been like I said, 10 years since the first record, and it just blows my mind just how many. you know, again, like that we've been able to do what we do for that long.
Has the fan base
after record?
Have they held on? I mean, did you have some original people who just followed you straight through from that
album?
Yeah,
we do. I mean, obviously, it's like 10 years. Like, no one's the same.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's funny because people are like, do you have the same fans? We're like, well, we have a lot of the same fans, but they're not the same. You know, people.
Yeah, they grew up too.
Well, they're just a different audience of a lot of the same.
It goes from like, you know, the girl and guy, you know, boyfriend girlfriend wearing khakis and like, you know, polo shirts to like the girl who is, you know, a pincushion right on her face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, body tats from, you know, wrist
full
to
sleeves,
shoulder
yeah.
and full sleeves, a whole nine yards.
Definitely an eclectic group. Yeah,
and, you know, anything in between.
Well, when you guys are 6 years old, you know, 9 years old, 11, whatever, you're traveling around, you're doing all this stuff. Do you even remember it? I mean, like, I don't remember anything from my childhood
That's
at
good point.
6 years old.
Yeah.
I do remember it in varying levels of detail. I mean, but of course, I remember last week in varying levels.
That's a whole nother problem.
I remember last night in varying levels.
Hey, I want to get back to the Q101 thing because it was. I thought it was really cool to give the listener sort of a blind taste test.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because obviously with the Mbop, you know, which was, you know, like Preston was saying, a huge hit, people have their idea of what Hanson is. And then to be able to, you know, sort of like pull the wool over their eyes and just have the listeners hear the music for what it was and not who was doing it. Like, how important was that? And did that happen anywhere else? Or because I mean, they did that with
believe it or not, a Donny Osmond song years ago.
He had a stigma to him as being kind of a teeny bop, on the cover of 16 magazine and stuff like that. So they did that, and it was the Soldier of Love song, which ended up being a big hit for him.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I think part of the thing with that was, in the case of Q101, first of all, Spike, you know, is a real big supporter. He was the music director.
He's from Philly.
There.
We worked with Elektra, by the way, here in Philly as well.
Great. Well, you know, I mean, the thing I think there is, we are in a very, very, like, image, quote-unquote, conscious, you know, music business. And so I think that's a big factor in why.
I mean, with a lot of the stations.
With regard to the audience and everything else, people get this very vivid picture in their minds, as well as a musical, you know, reference. In many cases, a lot of people's reference to Hanson is more visual than it is musical. And so I think for Spike in particular, he was like, you know what, I want to challenge people to have a more accurate musical picture of what this band is, and that's kind of the blind taste test.
It's also cool because I think the song Great Divide, you know, we're our typical home is, you know, like Hot AC and top 40 stations, but you know, songs like Great Divide, like, they just fit more next to a lot of songs that are more rock songs.
Well,
station like Q101 was like, Hanson wouldn't, like, even if, you know, just playing Hanson on our station is actually kind of the main reason why they wanted to do it as the mystery band, because it's like, you know, the fact that it's on this rock station is actually more, you know, the surprise than anything, which is cool.
It definitely, I mean, when I heard the song, it definitely fits in as a rock song, you know.
Yeah.
I got a feeling you guys, though, from the get-go, sort of were very self-aware and were able to make, because I remember you guys making fun of yourselves right from the get-go.
We did make fun of ourselves.
you knew what was happening, and you knew what you were being pigeonholed as, and you figured, all right, we might as well have fun with it.
Well, we did have a lot of fun with it, actually. We were on SNL on a Christmas, I think it was actually the Christmas episode of SNL in 97, and we did a skit of all things, teasing about the success of Mbop with Will Ferrell, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and in an elevator, right?
In an elevator. It was good fun. We had a lot of fun. You know, you got to be able to take
yourself a little bit, then, you know, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I got an instant message that says, is from Ghostbuster 20, says, do they still play Mbop or have they put that one away?
We never put it away. I mean, obviously, you don't start your set with that song, but it's like, I mean, it's a song we wrote, and for that matter, it's a song that, you know, we were nominated for Grammys for writing, you know, like, so I think for us, it's never been about turning away from stuff that you started out at. It's more just saying, well, we did that 10 years ago.
How much capital does that still generate for you, that song?
It's definitely, I mean, put it this way, we have, you know, started a record company, you know, and, you know, done a lot of things of that nature from, you know, obviously from having success.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
as a
yeah.
band, you know, you can't just do that.
And a big part of the success is that first record and Umbop and you know, and our ability to have done it for 10 years is because we had a great launching pad.
Right, yeah.
Which is that tune, that record, and, you know, not a lot of bands ever get the chance to have a hit that is of that, you know, size and right. Awareness.
Taylor,
around the world.
Can you still hit those notes on that song?
Well, not exactly that octave, but
if you squeeze your crotch. Yeah.
Do you guys ever try and switch it up? You know, like a Vanilla Ice tried to make Ice Ice Baby into a metal hit. You guys ever try and slow it down or anything?
I think that's. I mean, that is pretty
strangely
painful
enough.
To think
actually,
about.
Umbop did start off as a ballad. The original version of Umbop. Seriously.
Did it?
Yeah.
Was it because you were the drummer at 11 years old?
Yeah,
and I couldn't
right. keep tempo. but, you know, with songs like that, you know, you play them and you love them. I mean, obviously, like Tay said, it's not what we're doing now, and it wouldn't be, yeah. if somebody said, what do you sound like? You wouldn't put that song on, but you still play it because there's also, your fans have been with you for 10 years.
Right,
those
yeah.
are songs they love. And
yeah.
you don't want to be one of those bands that tries to
like, oh, we're
throw
not
their
that,
past
you know?
Under the bus, you know, that says, no, that's not us.
Because in a way, you're... And you guys have a bus.
Yeah.
We
have
it's bus. In our parking lot.
If we were going to throw something under it, we'd have a bus to do that with. Exactly. Who wants to throw some stuff under the bus?
What I also yeah. think what Zach was getting at, too, is if you throw your old stuff under the bus, it's like throwing your fans under the
right,
bus
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I saw on VH1 the guy from Flock of Seagulls, whoever the lead yeah. singer is. They did an interview.
George Frappenham.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And he said, you know, he's like, everybody wants to hear Iran, and I'm sick of it. And I'm like, well, dude, get out of the business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you wrote a huge hit.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you're married to it for the rest of your life if you want to keep selling tickets.
I mean, you know what? When Paul McCartney got married a few years ago, what did it say?
Before he got divorced.
Yeah, before he got divorced.
Right.
It said, you know, she loves him, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
stuck
yeah.
with it. On all kinds yeah, yeah. of, all kinds of things. I mean, the guy was like in his late teens, early 20s when that came out. He's, you know,
like
in his 60s now.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, I mean... You know, you're always going to be related.
Paul McCartney had?
Yeah, exactly.
Not, really not that many.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, it's cool that you guys embrace your past and that you're able to continue to tour together. I'm the oldest of three brothers, and I want to know how you guys can stand each other after working with one another. I love my two brothers, but I don't know if I could spend every single day touring with them, you know, going yeah. out on the road and working with them as my career. How do you do that?
I don't think there's really an answer for that. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing where...
Well, you probably started
beyond
by saying,
yeah,
it's not always. Fun.
It's not always.
Fun. It's not always good.
We're
in fact,
really
hate each other's guts.
We're so, really good
you know,
liars.
Hey Zach, I like
just,
you.
you know, at some level, you we all want to be making music, and the best way to do it is together, and we figured that out a while ago, and so it's just a matter of kind of holding that together and having. Kind of the same drive towards the same goal. And then, you know, the other stuff, you just work it out, you know.
But they know, level. Like with you, they know that at any point they can count on you to be late.
Yeah. Have you guys ever thought about changing the band name to like maybe I'm looking at your first names like maybe like Zach Tailsack or something like that or
Tailsack?
Yeah.
About, anything about putting
Zach
the word Tailsack. Sack in there? You know, it's a weird thing. It's sort of like the name, the word biscuit. You know.
Yeah.
Tailsack.
Oh my.
Zit. Oh my gosh.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. You know the problem with that is you'd always end up being like Prince. You know. Symbol, formerly known as Prince.
Right.
You know,
yeah, like formerly Hanson.
Zit, yeah. or, you know, Frank Balsack, formerly known as
Hanson, yeah.
You know, formerly known as Hanson.
It's just not going to work.
This is really not flying.
Yeah.
Now.
God. So are we, I guess we're not going to, it's too early for you guys to perform.
No, actually, we're ready to perform. We're just busy talking.
Oh, well, let's do it.
Well, if I say we're ready, quote unquote, we're not actually, the guitar's in the other room.
If you give us like 3 minutes or something like a break and then we can come back and play for sure.
All right, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Here's a text message that we got in. It says, hey guys, I do security at the Electric Factory and there are girls that have been sleeping out since 10 o'clock last night there.
Jesus Christ.
For the
guy, really?
The guys that are in our studio, let me reintroduce Taylor, wild. Isaac, and Zach from Hanson who are here. Playing the Electric Factory.
Is that pretty wild to hear that? That there are people camping out already?
Honestly, it's kind of the norm.
Yeah.
Our fans are there. We have the most incredible fans in the world, but we jokingly call them Hanson heads because it's kind of like a Deadhead experience. There's always people camping out and there before the shows. And I mean, honestly, it is actually pretty common to see. Not that it still isn't an incredible thing, but there's something about and I don't know how much we have to do with this, but you know, especially on the second tour, around the second tour, there started to be this idea that people would come early and they would just hang out.
Hanson tailgaters?
Like, it's kind of the same equivalent. It's like people set up, they get sleeping bags, they get their like fold out chairs, and like people just, you know.
Yeah. They jam out Hanson too.
People sit around and sing songs with the. Acoustic guitars is pretty awesome.
Sure, why not?
We're like, you know what? We really should start selling a whole line of Hanson barbecues or something.
Yeah.
Well, on the flip side of the rabid fans, there's an instant message from somebody named Instigator. It says, thanks for playing Mbop. Now I'll be humming it all day. You dick. Which is true. It is possibly one of the most infectious hooks ever written. And, I mean, that's a great thing. But it's also, as we mentioned earlier, it's an obstacle that you guys have had to overcome a little bit. Not in forgetting the song or setting it aside, but moving beyond that song as far as other material.
And that's why you hear
it. For instance, when we came in, you played it.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, here's this was really cool. While we were in break, these guys were warming up and getting set, and these harmonies are just, they're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. They're good. Really good.
They're so dead on. It's incredible. Now, the new album is called The Walk. You guys are doing The Walk Tour. And by the way, there's Hanson.net is the website if you want to check it out. And what song are you going to play?
We're going to play Great Divide.
Okay.
This is the first song we put off from the record.
So. Beautiful. Well, let's check it out. This is Hanson with The Great Divide on MMR.
Still we hung up on a moment of freedom, even though the hours late, yeah. I found hope in gives me rest. I found hope in beating chest. I found hope in what eyes don't see. I found hope in your aid for me. Have no fear when the waters rise. We can conquer this glad divine.
Yeah.
It's great divide when every eye is on the fortune. Well, you can only break and tell. As you say, blood is bigger than oceans. Still, we box some brothers in, yeah. I find hope and it gives me rest. I find hope in the beating chest. I find hope in what eyes don't see. I find hope in your hate for me. Have no fear when the waters rise. We can conquer this great divine.
Yeah.
Whoa. Beating chest. I find hope in what eyes don't see. I find hope in your hate for me. Have no fear when waters rise. We can conquer this glad divine.
Yeah.
Oh, this great divine. Whoa.
definitely got some soul to it. And, man, you guys, the harmonies just blow me away. That's fantastic.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
If people want to pick up the CD, is it out now, available?
Yeah, it came out just at the end of July, and okay. It's called The Walk. And I mean, again, definitely, we always talked about the live experience as being such an important part of this band. The tour is, I mean, really is what it's all about. It's almost impossible to take what this band is and get it onto a CD.
Right. You know? Yeah. We really tried with this record really hard to kind of capture that.
I think the closest thing we've done on any record. Yeah.
So you feel really good about this, and do you think? I mean, obviously, it's not been the mission statement to change the way people perceive you as, but do you believe this will be an end result of this album?
I think people have responded really, really well to it. I think people have really felt like that they kind of were starting to understand the band in a different way than they had before.
It's funny though, because you know, it's not about like you were talking about, you know, do you guys play the old music or not? It, you know, our music, like even on that first record, like there was so much about that record, you know, that is so similar to what we do now. Like we did this 10 years ago. It's more, it's that thing of just getting more and more to kind of understand what it is that you do, you know, and what you've always done.
I think also people understanding the band as a 3-piece band is different than understanding us as singers and vocalists and songwriters. Right. Because I think on this record, on The Walk, there's when you listen to the album, there's a personality to who the band is that I think is unique to the record. And what we really aggressively tried to get was that.
Well, you guys are substantially different from what, I mean, you guys are all married, or who's married now?
We are actually all married.
There you go.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. You're living life. You got a whole different vibe going on. And, of course, when you're married, you have tons of pain to write music.
Spoken from someone who sounds like they
either have been or, you know, were formerly, you know, like based on their wife listening, you know.
I have to point this out, that Zach is still clearly the little brother, because he keeps trying to get on the mic and nobody's letting him say anything.
Well, you know, there's only two mics here, so I'm trying to sneak my way in. Well, I was just going to say, I think also in some form with this record, I think being guys that are now actually the average of what most bands are,
right,
is maybe the biggest change about this record.
Right.
Less the music, but the fact that even on our last album and even on the album since, you know, we've still always been slightly younger than everybody, and now, you know, 10 years into it, we're the average of, you know, most of the bands.
You're actually what you should be. Yeah.
How old are you?
You
exactly?
were freaks before, but now.
No, we're still freaks. We're just older. We've got people that Zach's 21, I'm 24, and I'm 26.
Yeah.
You know, we've got bands now that, and this is actually pretty amazing, we've got bands that are our peers that are actually opening up for us, or you know, sending us texts or sending us emails or whatever, that are saying, you know, hey, I was, you know, got into making music watching you guys, and, you know, as a, you know, 12, 14, 16
year old. Your contemporaries were inspired by you. That's pretty wild.
How does that work? And then it's, but that's, I mean, that's almost like the biggest compliment of the whole thing.
It's pretty weird. It's like the 20-year-old drummer in this one band, and like, Long Island walks up to Zach. He's like, dude, seriously, like, I learned to play drums by watching you.
It's like, so that's why he sucks. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
You said it before I did.
Zach, you've calmed down a little bit, too. Yeah. I remember you were the one who was always off the wall, like on MTV.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, I've gotten bigger, and I actually hurt a few people. I took Rob Schneider. And I jumped off a staircase and hit him in the face with a clipboard on accident. and then, you know, I
took his leg off.
Exactly.
When Zach pushed him off a stage.
And so I figured I need to calm down. I need to just get more of my aggression out on the drums.
Back on the Ritalin.
Back on the Ritalin.
Exactly.
Well, we will take a break. We'll come back in a moment. And Hanson is here, man. Yeah! We have Holger, Taylor, Isaac, and Zach. Their triumphant return to Philadelphia. We'll be back in just a minute. There we are.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your pocket, but it doesn't change.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I saw this story, which is kind of interesting, and it was a study that was done. Almost three quarters of U.S. adults age 18 to 49 say that sex is better while on vacation.
Vacation sex.
Yes.
Hotel sex, are we talking about, or on the
beach? It would have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not necessarily in the hotel room.
Yeah.
But.
I had an argument with a friend about there. She says that vacation sex is better than hotel sex. And I think that you can just go and have hotel sex and not be on vacation.
You can have airport sex and don't even fly anywhere. Just go and, you know.
Right. Never had
just
airport
go to the airport.
Sex.
But when are you bathroom.
Staying, when are you staying in a hotel?
Sometimes you're going to go to a hotel just to get away from the kids. You know,
we've
just
done that.
Yeah.
We went, my wife and I went in, for our anniversary, we got a room at the Rittenhouse.
Nice.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And we did like three times that night.
There you
that
go.
You did three
sweet.
Times while checking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sir, could you get off the counter?
I don't know. I consider... I think it's all a vacation.
That's uncanny, Steve.
Yeah. You had that's to why. I know how you sound.
What were you saying?
I think it's all a vacation. Like if I'm going to go to Atlantic City or the Rittenhouse for a night, it's... one night vacation, a 3-day vacation. Okay. So hotel sex is vacation sex.
Wow. This is according to Zoosk.com.
Zoosk? That's the website of gods and titans?
Zoosk.com. It's a romantic social network. And they commissioned a survey of adults age 18 to 49 and found that 22%. Said that beach vacations were the most romantic type of getaway.
They are.
Sex. Yeah.
Do you ever go away, though, and you're so active that you're just like, you just
pass. Oh, yeah, you get tired and drunk.
A lot of times, Claire and I will find that we are passing out at like 9, because I'm ripped. I'm totally bombed. No, but, you know, you actually go to bed earlier than you normally would because you're so active during the day.
Yeah. Just real quick, on Zoosk.com, I know why I recognize that name. When I play Words with Friends, the little ad comes up after you make a move.
Oh.
It's
oh,
Zoosk.com. Yeah, and it's two pretty girls saying, it's like a MySpace ad. Yeah. Do you need a date? Go to Zoosk.com.
You're still using the free app?
Oh, yeah.
You're
oh,
not
with,
supposed to?
With the commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I spent the buck and you don't get those ads anymore.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Hold on. So... it's still the same games, though?
Yeah.
I can't get the same games up. I got to start new ones.
You're helpless.
I don't know what to tell you.
She's like, Clara go, sweetie, there's a picture of a ferret that keeps popping up. What did you do? Did you click on something, say yes, pictures of ferret every day? And now I have to CSI... 9 levels back.
Yeah.
Hi, how come it's glowing green and playing taps?
Right.
What did you hit?
I bought the app just like Preston.
I didn't know that you could buy the app.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't and I know. Bought
yeah,
it.
You're
I
playing Words
it.
With Friends free, right. And then there's Words with Friends for a buck.
The non-freeloader version.
You don't get the ads on it anymore.
Well, that's smart.
It's kind of worth
it's
it.
It's the same thing with
Draw something. Yeah. Same thing. I got to create new games.
CSI, man. Gotta dig 9 levels down.
Somebody help me.
I think it's time for Kathy to download.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're now.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Caruso?
Caruso?
Yeah.
Caruso?
Yeah. Right. Hang on. Let me go to a couple of calls. I have Lamar on the phone. Hey, Lamar. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, brother. What's up?
See, you're talking about, like, hotel sex, and I had this girl I was dating in New Jersey.
Yes.
And we could never, like, you know, meet up when we want to. But one day we met up in this, like, we said, hey, I have this weekend off. Let's meet up at the Liberty Bell Motel.
Sounds classy.
Down. One night, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We almost basically broke the bed.
Yeah.
If I can be completely honest with you, because we didn't have that mindset of caring about the space.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's definitely a, there's something that ignites.
You can be reckless.
That, yeah.
Well, you know. The one thing is, though, and guys, this is if you're going to do the motel route, if you're going to do the hotel route, skip up to the next level.
Sure.
You know, girls don't want to be lying in the sweat imprint of the previous resident.
Yes. I tell you what, though, and just for fun, one time we did it, what was the name of that place?
In a dumpster.
It wasn't the end of the Dove, but one of
the
those.
Nest?
Like a fantasy hotel.
Yeah, it's over in Cherry Hill.
Yeah, okay.
When Sanctuary used to be around.
Champagne hot tubs and everything?
Well, we had the jungle room.
Oh.
And so, literally trees and stuff in your room. And
what was that like?
Mirror on the ceiling, nice. The whole deal.
Were you afraid to touch anything?
You know, nah, it was pretty lit, so I didn't care.
Alcohol solves all
at
the problems.
At first, I was like, I don't care. And, you know, we reuse the room for what it was there for.
It's good.
Yeah, but my wife has wanted to do like one of these
champagne glasses.
Yeah, one of these Pocono
right
places, honeymoon places that has the heart shaped hot tub and
let
all that stuff.
Let the fantasy begin.
Right.
Exactly. Welcome to your fantasy room. Will you partake of the huge champagne glass which you can sit in?
Wow! Just, if you could not talk about it, it would be great.
Yeah.
So we scented only candles. It smells like I don't know, licorice. I don't know what the thing is. It smells good. I don't know. As long as you get an erection, right? Am I right?
So we only did that one time. But
by the way, don't open a window. There's a tire thing next door. The tires are they're on fire.
19% of the people that were surveyed on Zoosk said that a trip to a romantic city was the most romantic vacation. 15% said a cruise. 15% said a trip to an exotic, far-flung locale.
Yeah, like
the hell's that
Point
mean?
Barrow, Alaska.
Far-flung locale.
I would say the beach wins. Tropical locations win when it comes to raising your libido.
9% say bed and breakfast. No.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why would you say
I'm
no?
With you on that.
We did it. We did a bed and breakfast thing one
it's
time.
It's so quiet. There's
too
isn't
many
it?
People around.
And isn't it very.
And you're in a house. Right. You're in, you know, you're not. You're, yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, you're the king. You're the king.
And then,
oh, my God.
There's awkward
you're
breakfast.
You're cutting me in half. You're a jackhammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're my bitch. No, I'm a filthy girl. I'm a filthy, filthy girl. You're so bad. You're such a bitch.
I'm going to smack you in the face with it.
I'm going to smack you in the face with it.
I do not find it.
No, not there.
No. Yeah.
One vacation.
Wrong one.
We'll have to get a room with thicker walls. Slow down, too much suction. You'll hear the pop.
You okay in there? You okay in there? I thought I heard a gunshot. No, it's okay. Just backdooring it.
Oh, Lordy Lord. So only 9% say that a bed and breakfast. 8% said a road trip. And 5% said a camping excursion. For romance? No, no.
God, I don't even. And I think camping on TV and stuff looks great, but yeah. I agree with Kathy. Here's my method of camping. Where's the closest hotel?
Yeah.
Drive me to the bear.
I almost went camping on Friday night. I can't wait to get back to camping.
You know what? We have several friends and neighbors that are into it, and they have the RVs and everything. They've gone all out, and they do it several times throughout the year. We've gone a couple of times. It's okay.
Do you go all together, or do you go with just the boys? Right?
We go as the whole family.
Really?
Yeah, but we will rent a cabin.
Here's the deal, though.
Boo. And then,
what?
Because people think you're cheating. Yeah.
Boo.
I know.
It's not
I know.
Camping if you stay in a cabin. It's sleeping in a cabin.
My wife is. I know, yeah.
Yeah. I used to camp when I was a kid. My dad and I would go out and we went on trips and stuff, and I had a ball. But now that I'm an adult, I don't want to
do
that anymore.
That.
My wife is the youngest of nine, and yes. So it was cost prohibitive for her family to go. You couldn't go to a hotel. It was just it would have killed them financially. So camping was the thing, and they all loved it. But man, no, not for me.
I've never been camping my whole life.
Really? No. Oh, man, it's a lot of fun. And
she wouldn't like it at all. Not at all.
Well, you could go to, like, French Creek, and that's what I was looking at. We were going to go to French Creek. It's not that far away.
No.
And it was only $23.
No.
It was only
You have to pay to sleep outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to pay for the site, for the campsite.
I'll pay for the hotel
and
with
Kathy,
you.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's what you do, Kathy. Before you drive through the gate, just set up your tent outside. On the median. Here I am.
Yeah, Kathy, you'll love it. There's all kinds of people really close by. And you can hear everything. Wow. And
hey, do you folks like griddle cakes?
Yeah, and that happens too.
Probably wouldn't. I wouldn't mind that. What I would mind is the bugs.
No, Kathy, wouldn't you delight in the thrill of having to suspend your food up in a tree and wiping your ass with leaves?
Oh, no.
Case, I appreciate you trying to sell them on it. But you know, you're not getting anywhere.
No.
But I think that I really like the idea of camping more than actually when I get out into a tent. Because like, if when you're there, like, you know, you get all geared up, you're excited about it, and then you get out there and you're like, man, this is uncomfortable.
Where's the spa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a...
The otter?
I was a camp counselor for this camp on wheels 1 year, and we did all around the American West and Canadian West. Yeah. It was a really, really good time, and it was a whole bunch of really spoiled kids, mostly from Long Island, who had never been camping before in their lives. And man, did they hate it initially. And then they started warming up to it, but like... When you're thrown into something like that, you figure out ways to adjust and make yourself have a good time.
I can see that under the right circumstances with the right equipment, you might enjoy. Like if you do something along the Colorado River or whatever.
Yeah.
I like to go hiking out in areas. I just, at the end of the day, I would prefer to go back to a real bed.
Yeah, well, you're not really sleeping very well if you're going to be in a tent.
You know, a few years ago, I was trying to look at some different kinds of vacations we could take with the family. And camping, I would like to do it at some, again at some point. But I just for the hell of it, I typed in luxury camping resorts.
Okay.
Luxury camping resorts?
Oh, yeah. There's some... Huh. If you pay, you can get an awesome setup.
Like what? What constitutes luxury camping?
Well, like...
The tents are made out of chinchilla?
No. I mean, like, they have excursions, like, well, they'll fly off in a helicopter to go fly fishing, you know, or something like that nearby. But the... We're looking at a picture. Like, there that... thing that's yeah. That's like you that's can nice. Sleep in that the tents are really nice with electricity
and
you would, but that stuff is insanely expensive.
How much would it's you like pay for
if,
something like
if
that?
The Rolling Stones want to go camping,
okay,
they go and they pay.
I want to go camping. I want to commune with nature. I want to go fly fishing. oh. Keith, would you put my worm on for me?
But, here you go, Steve.
This one's for all the campers.
That's what I looked at.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's pricey, man.
Well, that's not even, that's like, that. It's gorgeous.
I know.
I mean,
I just for the hell of it, I pulled
but
that
up. But the bugs can still get to you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'm serious.
Keith, where's the bug spray? I'm getting eaten alive.
No. Kathy, look around the bed. That's a mosquito netting. You untie those and it surrounds the bed.
The spiders can still crawl up.
And I also looked into dude ranches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, even like one that's not super luxurious for a family of five, which I am, for like 5 days, $10,000.
Yeah.
What?
Easy.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, what about that place in the
scene?
The tropical location you saw that was $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong currency.
From a couple's retreat, right?
Yeah. Right.
That turns out that place is $100,000.
$100,000 a night! How's that possible?
Because you didn't do the conversion.
I was wrong. When you did Yellowstone, did you camp or did you just stay in the hotels or the cabins?
I camped. I stayed in a hotel the first night because I got there late and I couldn't secure a campground. And then I camped out a couple of nights and then I went down to Jackson Hole and I was going to camp and I set all my stuff in my camp area which is only like, you know, $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I went and I had lunch and I came back and they told me that a bear had come through my campsite and I'm like, I'm checking in the resort.
Wow. Yeah.
Screw this. So I went and I stayed and I bucked up. I got this really nice suite and it was kick ass with the Tetons, the Grand Tetons right out the
back. That's awesome.
It was beautiful. So I enjoyed that the most.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
That was your greatest camping experience, absolutely, the luxury hotel.
Did you guys see the bear in Bluebell this weekend?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
They caught a black bear that had actually put the town on alert.
Yeah, they locked down a couple of schools, right? They wouldn't let the kids out.
Wouldn't let anyone out.
Hang on a second here. John says that there is a luxury campsite nearby.
Oh.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, good, man. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks.
What's up, buddy?
The name of this place is the Great Divide. It's formerly the Green Valley Beach. It's in New Jersey. It's in Newton. It's amazing. Parmine and Lisa Torella own it. It's 100 acres, Preston.
Yeah.
They have what they call almost camping. You could like rent these high end cabins. There's
John. How much does the average high end cabin go for?
I think you can get it for like under a grand a week.
A grand a week?
Under a grand.
I mean, wow. It's still pricey, but I could see if you have, you know, a couple of people.
Oh, they have a ball. They do music up there. They do all kinds of stuff. 100 acres, beautiful. Lake, pools, all 9 yards.
Wow.
Wow. All right, I'll look into that. Thanks, John.
Check it out, the Great Divide.
It's right, also man.
Guys, you guys rock.
Thank you, brother.
Take it easy.
We'll see you.
I want like good. I want this like the Grand Tetons. I want you know
yeah.
rivers running and, through it, the whole thing. I just don't want to go out. I don't want it to look like the Blair Witch Project. You know.
Yeah, you got to head out west to really get the beautiful scenery.
Right.
When I was in the Boy Scouts, we camped at this place called Delmont. I don't know if that's a straight up Boy Scout camp. I think it might be. I would love to go back there because. It's kind of off the beaten path.
Would they let you in now? With
well, no, but if you could...
I know I'm an adult man, but...
If they had family camping there, they had really great walking trails. And I do like French Creek, but a lot of their walking trails are sort of like along a road at the same time.
Well, that's necessarily... kind of counterproductive. Right. Hey, look, I'm hiking the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me go to some camping stories here. Let me go to Trish. Hey, Trish, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Me and my husband went camping at French Creek, and there was RVs across from us, and I'm walking back from the bathroom, and all I hear is a squeaky noise, and I look over, and this trailer's rocking back and forth. It was so funny. So the next morning, my husband's singing loudly, "Don't rock the boat," to this woman from that trailer.
Did she, do you think she perceived the message?
Oh, yeah. She turned around and walked back in.
And started banging again.
Well, yeah. Right. Hey, might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it.
There's no drinking at French Creek either.
Yeah, I found that out.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting in trouble.
Actually, yeah, I felt like a teenager.
Yeah.
They came over and they made us pour out our beer.
You ever been to a
Ricketts? Oh, you're with okay, yeah.
I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah, I got you.
Anyway.
You ever been to Ricketts Glen up in the northern central part of Pennsylvania?
I bet you Scurvy Palace. Not Ricketts Glen.
Ricketts Glen.
Yeah.
I get a Scurvy Palace.
I went to the Anal Fisher Valley.
Scurvy. What is it? Scurvy what?
Oh, remember the Anal Fisher Valley.
Is this a higher-end camp?
No. Ricketts Glen is just like a French Creek-style camping place, but the really cool thing about the place is that there are 30 to 50 waterfalls, and so you walk around.
Wow. And there's it's an like a Goiter Gully.
Oh. Goiter Gully.
Goiter Gully.
Classic.
I love waterfalls. To me, waterfalls are money. They're nature's money shot.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all over my face.
Oh, yeah.
You stand underneath it.
Oh, I'm going to take a bath in it.
You got to warn me.
Let me go to Connor. Hey, Connor, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, my man. What's going on, Connor?
Well, I went camping once, and I forgot a sleeping bag. So we actually had to use the emergency blanket that was in the first aid kit.
Do those work?
You had to unwrap.
Does it work?
I was sweating like crazy. I was sweating on the inside.
What is the material that, because I've seen those emergency blankets, what are they made of that allows them to be so warm?
It's like the noisiest tinfoil ever.
Yeah, it's like a mix of plastic and a foil coating on it. I keep one in my car.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, when winter rolls around and you can get stuck and be, you know, your car runs out of gas and you may freeze. So I have one in there. I keep a little first aid kit, a little survival kit. I think there might be one with that Bear Grylls survival kit I gave you, Casey.
If you were to break down on City Line, would you take that out?
What's that?
If you broke down on City Line, was
yes. Just, I set up a little
so
tent.
Cold. Dude, what's going on?
This is a Starbucks right over there. You can go
it's a coffee.
Inside. And
so cold.
Hang on, let me go to Laura's recommendation for Casey. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Turn your radio down, Laura.
Got it.
All right, what's up?
Well, I'm actually Irish Murph. And they were just in there recently to say goodbye. They had to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
I'm their sister-in-law, so.
Oh, you. What the hell do you want to talk about?
we go to French Creek every year. They come with us, and we go with about 20, 25 family members. It's all good. You're not supposed to bring alcohol, but as long as you have koozies or just put it in solo cups, it's totally good.
No, you're not totally good. You're still skirting the system at that point.
It's great. If you put your heroin inside a cigarette, you can still smoke it.
So you're just saying that Casey, it should go to French Creek.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay,
all right.
You just have to break the law and hide your alcohol.
Right. Yeah, right. It is nice.
If you put it in a fake like a plaster cast, you know.
Well, just know. I mean, listen. You know, they if you're making enough noise, they're going to come and check it out, and they're going to make you pour out your alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So all right. Anyway,
simple as that.
But I mean, you know, Kathy, will you like camping? Probably not. Should you do it at least once? Yes.
Okay, come on. I'm 33 years old. Do you really think I'm going to go camping at this point?
No. You know, just go to the high-end place if you're going to do it. You know, it's probably worth it.
I'll go camping if Steve goes with me.
Yes, I'll do that.
Think of it this way.
We can throw our hatchets together.
It's one.
If you get a news crew to do a story on it, Kathy will go camping.
No.
Yes.
Kathy
and
won't.
Then we'll eat lots of seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Let's start with shrimp.
Let's go with everything
shrimp,
Kathy
shrimp
hates.
And oysters around the campfire.
Right. No, but I'm saying,
and I'll tell ghost stories.
I mean, it's one of those things you just ought to do in your lifetime at one time or another.
I just admit I'm a puss when it comes. I just, for me, the sleeping thing is so, I don't sleep well outside.
Yeah. You know?
I did sleep underneath a sheet that we attached to our piano when we were little.
Oh. Close enough.
We said that was camping.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
Okay. Cool.
You got to turn that into a survival story.
You never camped in your yard or anything like that?
Like maybe M. Night Shyamalan can do it, where the twist ending is you come out and you're in your living room.
Case, we did, I think, you know, a couple of times for birthdays, Christmas, whatever, we would get a tent. And, yeah, it would be set up in
the yard.
Yeah. Yeah, but I never slept out there.
Okay.
Oh. Hell no.
All right. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you for your suggestions. Listen, we need to take a break. I will come back in just a moment, so stay right there.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's see here. A bear ate the corpse of a convicted killer in a wooded area of Canada.
God damn, that was good.
The mauled body of Rory Nelson Wagner was found in a rural area in southern British Columbia.
Let's see the idea here. Rory, you were delicious. I'm sorry, dude.
Police. I mean,
you were dead.
Police believe Wagner was already dead in a 1986 Volkswagen.
Yeah, he was already dead.
In a 1986 Volkswagen Jetta, when the black bear broke into the vehicle, ate some parts of him, and dragged the rest of the body away.
You know what this is like? This is like the bear's version of a Lunchable.
The driver's window of the vehicle was down, and investigators noted numerous muddy animal prints and scratches on the car.
So they assumed it was probably a muddy animal.
Drug paraphernalia and a bottle of liquor was found in the car. A coroner is conducting an autopsy and toxicology test.
I like a little after dinner drink.
Wagner and two other people were charged in the 1993 killing of a man they thought had sexually assaulted a relative. The man they killed was found not guilty of sexual assault charges. So Wagner was convicted for the murder, but he had been on parole.
What's the deal when a bear, you've been to the park system a lot. If a bear tastes human flesh, is that an issue?
Yeah, they will. A lot of they'll put
they'll
a bear
put
down.
Put him down? Yeah, okay.
It usually to ensure that it doesn't get the, you know,
the
if it gets a taste for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wagner was convicted for that murder, but had been on parole, as I said. Conservation officials said the bear was caught and may be killed to ensure public safety. A Tennessee man faces attempted murder charges after he allegedly shot his former roommate, a local TV meteorologist, with a crossbow and an arrow.
This is the bear from the last story. Did you say I'm going to be put down?
Yeah. It's possible.
All right. It looks so good. All right, I continue with this story. I'm sorry.
Right. Thanks for checking in, though.
No problem.
All right. Gerald D. Taylor is accused of breaking into the home that he had shared with Robert William Batat and fired shots at him with both a crossbow and a 9mm pistol.
He was committed.
Batat, who works as a meteorologist for WJHL, filed an order of protection against Taylor in May, asking the court to keep him away from the home that they shared, as well as from going to Batat's workplace.
Tornadoes are expected to touch down right where that arrow is.
Batat apparently had an arrow sticking from his chest when police arrived. Taylor attempted to run away from the scene, but was apprehended by police. In the order of protection, Batat had said that Taylor slashed the tires of his car, put water in his gas tank as well. Batat also said that Taylor threatened to slander his name and kill Batat and then himself. Batat, known on air as Rob Williams, issued a statement thanking the public for their concern. He says he is recovering with plans to return to the station soon. A bus driver has sued a Connecticut hospital, saying staff at an affiliated facility failed to promptly and properly treat his painful erection, and they watched a baseball game on television while he waited.
Oh, my balls!
Darren Scott is seeking $2 million in his federal lawsuit. The lawsuit says that Scott was diagnosed before the incident with a recurrent priapism, a persistent painful erection unrelated to sexual stimulation. Scott was driving customers from Boston to New York when he suffered a persistent and disabling erection.
You have a massive erection.
After dropping off the customers, Scott said that he checked into an emergency medical facility affiliated with the hospital, but was told that he had to move his bus because he had
got a boner.
The fifth floor is the erection floor.
Because he had parked it in the wrong place, Scott suffered more pain as a result of moving the bus, and when he explained he was in great pain, he was told to wait. While waiting, Scott said he noticed that the facility staff, including physicians on duty, were watching a game on TV. Scott said that his pain worsened, and he told the nurse. The staff, including the physicians, continue to watch the baseball game and ignore his condition, according to his lawsuit.
You just sit right there, slugger.
After an hour, Scott was brought into a treatment room. He said a doctor refused to properly inject his medication and no effort was made to bring in a urologist. Scott said he was later taken to the hospital and forced to wait another 4 hours before receiving treatment.
What is the treatment for priapism?
There's some kind of medical, some kind of medicine that they can give you, I guess.
They show a picture of Roseanne Barr.
He said,
"Here, look at that. Oh, yeah!"
An operation was unsuccessful, and he remained in great pain for several months, so he is suing them.
That's wild.
Listen to this, man. A German freediver has apparently entered the Guinness World Records by holding his breath underwater for more than 20 minutes.
No way.
Yeah.
Some of these... Did you ever see the documentary? I think it's called... Is it Deep Blue or something like that? About these dudes, and they hold on to like
a weight.
A weight, and they... It's. I watch that and I freak out.
This guy did. He does that stuff. He does the free diving, but he did this differently. Tom Sietes, who's 35, competed with former world record holder Brazilian Ricardo Bahia to set the new record by not inhaling for 22 minutes and 22 seconds.
How? I guess if you train yourself to that, but at a certain point, don't. Things in your body start shutting down?
The extraordinary feat is thought to have been completed in China in a
pair... That's one full episode of Password, Preston.
In a pair of tanks next to one another over the weekend. Bahia's previous record was 20 minutes and 21 seconds, so he beat him by 1 second.
Do they explain how he was able to do this? Okay.
Sieta has broken his own records on multiple occasions for the event, officially known as static apnea, since he first started doing it in 2000. He has also earned records in dynamic apnea, which is the free diving where they go as deep as possible without breathing. Sieta said that in the past he does not eat for 5 hours before carrying out the stunts, and that slows his metabolism down.
Okay.
He then fills his lungs with as much pure oxygen as he can, so they take a big hit of pure oxygen.
So his body's properly oxidized.
Yep. But even without that, he once held the record for static apnea without pure oxygen, holding his breath for 10 minutes and 12 seconds. The current world record was set by Stephanie Mifsud in 2009 with 11 minutes and 35 seconds.
Do you think he could drink 50 cups of coffee?
I don't know.
How long do you think you guys can hold your breath?
Not very long. I mean, I can do okay. I could do a minute, but think about that. 20 minutes holding your breath.
I can't even comprehend that. One last story. Police say a woman beat a man with her prosthetic leg during an argument.
She kicked his ass.
Investigators say the 29-year-old man got into a fight with a woman over groceries, and that's when the victim says a woman took off her leg and started beating him with it. Cops say the woman's dialysis tube was pulled from her neck during the scuffle.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, she's claiming that the man punched her and no charges have been filed in the incident, but she ripped off her own leg and beat the crap out of the guy.
If you got it, use it.
Yeah.
Put a gun in it. Do like, what is the movie, A Planet Terror, where Rose McGowan has the machine gun leg.
Yep. So there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. And I still, there was, sometimes when it rains, it pours. There were so many twisted stories that I kept coming across while the search around online last night. So I have a bunch more to go when we do the B-file the next time around. So take a break. Be back in a moment. Stay there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Mark Morton with Chester Bennington. The Glorious Sons.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I'm going to introduce him first, and I'm going to tell him the story about how you guys told me he was coming here. But he's won 23 awards from Modern Drummer magazine, the second person besides Neil Peart to be inducted into the Modern Drummer Hall of Fame. Dream Theater, Liquid Tension Experiment, Adrenaline Mob, so many different projects. I can't name them all. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Portnoy.
Yeah!
Hey, he's here this morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
How you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there. What have I gotten myself into here? I thought I was just coming to do an interview, and this is like a full-on battle scene that's going on here.
I know.
With an audience, and what have I done here?
Well, the first thing Mike said to me is, he goes, "Hey, man, how you doing? You're going down."
I hope to God that you don't let up, because Preston has become friends with Sticks It In You. I don't know if you're familiar with Steel Panther.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Sticks had said that, you know, he heard that you're a cool guy and that you'll probably take it easy on him. And I'm like, man, I really...
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
This has been... I got to step into your defense here, Preston. Preston has never said this is a drum-off.
Well, let me tell you how this started, Mike.
Explain the history.
The other day, it was Wednesday, I stepped out into the green room to go get some coffee or something like that. And I come back in and I hear Casey and Steve talking in some kind of code.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell are these guys talking about? They're talking about me, and they didn't want me to know about it. And then Steve goes, should we just tell him? Casey goes, yeah. And he goes, by the way, you're having a drum off of Mike Portnoy on Friday. and I just go, no, this is not my idea. But the way Steve explained it to me is, he said, dude, imagine what a thrill that will be for you to be able to jam with somebody like that. And I pulled back and I'm like, you know what? Yes. How can I pass up an opportunity?
I mean,
the
Questlove experience, he played, we had Questlove in here as well. And you could just see it's a joy to be with someone who's at the top of their game, and he's going to enjoy it as well.
Is he at the top of his game? I'm well past my peak, so you have an advantage on me.
Well, you know what, Mike, and we'll get to Adrenaline Mob and everything that you're promoting, which, by the way, the CD sounds awesome.
Oh, thank you,
we
man.
We listened to it this morning.
Thank you.
And the collaboration with Lizzie Hale, and what a great choice. Come Undone, man.
Love that song.
That's a great song. But I realize that in looking up information about you, you and I are the same age. We have the same influences. I mean, you probably... like me, had a boombox listening to, you know, Permanent Waves sitting next to
totally.
Trying to play along to it.
And, what are we trying? I was able to. You weren't able to?
Hey, I could play Natural Science.
Oh, really? I might be in trouble then.
That was one of my favorite songs to play. No, I said I could. I can't anymore. No question. But, you know, Bonzo and all the greats you grew up playing along to. But at some point, were you just a natural right off the bat? Did you pick it up right away?
I was. I was never a heavy practicer, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I mean, when I was a kid, I practiced all the time because I was just so, you know, passionate about it. And I would practice for hours and hours and hours. But to be honest with you, the last 20 years or so, I just don't have time in my life to sit home and practice like I used to. So I think I definitely... am more of a quote-unquote natural. You know, I'm not one of those guys that studies technique and works on things. I'm kind of like, I just sit down and just go, you know?
Right, right. But you're still able to do clinics and things like that. I mean, you can explain what you're doing to people if you
need to. Yeah. I mean, I went to Berklee College of Music back in the mid-'80s.
That's a little fly-by-night school.
Yeah. It's like Juilliard. I mean, it's really, it's difficult to get into. You have to audition and go through a big selection process.
Yeah,
right?
But to be honest, it wasn't drumming stuff I focused on there. I was like more into, you know, sight singing and reading and arranging and
theory
music
and
theory.
That.
Yeah, all ear training, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that stuff kind of helped round me more as a writer and a producer and, you know, the other stuff I do beyond the drums.
Who was the first person that you looked to and said, okay, that's what I want to do?
Well,
another, who pushed you over the edge,
you know,
to lock onto it?
Most people talk about when they saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and that was the moment where they knew what they wanted to do. I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and I saw John, and he was standing, and Paul was standing, and George was standing. But who's that guy in the back? He's getting to sit the whole time. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to be the drummer so I could sit the whole time.
Right.
No, but the real answer is Keith Moon.
Keith Moon
was the first drummer where I saw... And I was like, that's what I want to do. That's the type of drummer I want to be. Because Keith was so animated and such a personality behind the drums. You couldn't take your eyes off of him.
Yeah.
And when I saw The Kids Are All Right, the Who movie in 79 when I was a kid, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be a drummer like that. I want to be just this, you know, this Oh, hey, there he is on the screen. How'd they do that so quickly?
Oh, we're good.
Suddenly yeah, Keith Moon just popped up on the screen over there. Yeah.
And Keith, for that time, looking at this picture, that drum kit was enormous.
I did a Who tribute a couple years ago, and I did a New York, L.A., and Chicago show. New York and L.A. was a smaller kit, the more Tommy era. Wait, but go back to that other one. The gig I played in Chicago, the guy that promoted the show replicated that exact kit for me.
Wow.
I assume that's a ridiculously large kit,
with
correct?
The timpani's and everything. Yeah. No. His Mike's kit is ridiculous.
Yeah, that kit right there is like one of my cocktail kits.
Yeah, for the time.
Really?
That was big. Kathy, you want how many pieces would your largest drum kit have about, you think? 35?
I've never counted. I don't know.
It's insane.
Whoa.
It's not a drum kit. It's a drum village.
I love that. I have a story to tell about you. And actually, the kid's not here. I thought he was going to be here that the story's about. I went to the Rush Snakes and Arrows tour. And we got meet and greet passes, and we were getting ready to meet up with Alex and Getty. By the way, those guys do backstage better than anybody else. They've got it down to a science. And we were talking I was with some other industry people, and we had to wait a few minutes, and we talked about how a lot of the backstage experiences hurry up and wait. And we got on the conversation about, well, who would you wait, say, 3 or 4 hours to meet? I mean, just sit there in line and wait around and do nothing. And you know, like Mick Jagger and Bono, and these names started coming up. Well, my friend's son was there, and he goes, I think it'd be Mike Portnoy. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah. And we got on a conversation about it. So we continue on. We moved on past that conversation. We're waiting in line to meet Rush. And all of a sudden, I hear Matt, that's his name, I hear him go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, there he is. That's him. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, that's Mike Portnoy right over there. We were just talking about you.
And he didn't even have to wait.
No, he didn't. Because I told him, I'm like, dude, go over and say hi.
Did he?
He sat there I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm like, if you look back on this and you say, I could have gone over to say hi to him and I didn't do it, you're going to hate yourself. So just go over and say hi. He did. You took a picture of it with him. And it was a very cool rock and roll experience for this kid.
I had just a great of an experience that afternoon myself. You know, I was like a kid in a candy store because Neil invited me down to soundcheck that afternoon.
Whoa.
So I hung out with Neil and got to play his kit. And, you know, through the years, he and I have kind of become friends. So, but I can relate, you know. So, you know, I'm glad I was able to make that kid's afternoon. But I was having my own experience as well that afternoon.
But now he's over you. He didn't show up today.
No, he's sick. He's sick, man. Sick. Marilyn came back and he is so bummed out. But yeah, he's
well,
sick.
I walked through the hallway because I did the stage announcement for that show. I got to you know, say not coming up, like coming up in just a couple minutes, Rush, you know. But I was walking through the hallway and I walked by the room where he had his practice kit set up and he was warming up. And I lingered around for about 30 seconds and listened, and I got the hell out of there because I know, you know, you don't want to cross Neil because he's a very serious man and he takes his business very seriously. But that was really, really cool. And he didn't, you know, he's the guy that as a young kid, listening to that, I was blown away by what that guy could do, and he shaped what ended up being a pretty remedial drummer.
Well, you seem to take ownership and embrace the fact that you're serving as an inspiration for a lot of drummers, and it's not lost on you. Have you met anybody who's achieved a level of success who's been inspired by you? I know you're relatively young still, but...
Yeah, there's Neil on the screen right now. This is amazing. It's always really, really flattering to me when I meet up-and-coming drummers that cite me as an influence. And
it's got to be.
Yeah. It also makes me realize how, you know, I guess how time is flying.
Yeah,
you
know? Do you see yourself in a lot of faces that come up to you? I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, to me, the biggest compliment is when I meet other drummers in other genres that cite me as an influence. Like like Joey Jordison from Slipknot and, you know, Chris Adler from Lamb of God. These guys are more like thrash drummers. And, you know, they'll tell me how they grew up listening to me and, you know, Dream Theater and stuff like that. And when I see, you know, it's one thing when I meet other drummers that are doing, like, progressive music and the genre I'm a part of. But when I meet people that are in other genres and that to me is a great compliment. I don't know.
Well, I you know what, and I was thinking about this very thing this morning when you're coming in, is that I think that drummers are kind of unique in that regard, in that we will listen to other genres because there are so many great drummers in different genres. Last night, as I was digging up some video of you, I kind of fell into like the YouTube hole where you just start going video to video.
And then it's off to porn.
Right. Yeah.
Always ends up there.
Eventually. Yeah. But on my way there, I stopped off in the jazz land and I was looking at like Peter Erskine and Steve Smith and all these other just amazing drummers. And I think that drummers are unique and that we will explore other things that are not our main focus of interest. You
and
know?
I think drummers are also not very competitive. They're more inspired by other drummers. Like I do a lot of drum shows where there'll be, you know, guys from Terry Bozzio to Steve Smith to Chad Smith or whatever, and everybody's just watching each other, and there's a lot of camaraderie, and everybody's inspired by each other. I've been to, you know, other situations like at the NAMM show or whatever where the guitar players, you know, they'll turn their back. They don't want each other copying their licks and their riffs and stuff like that. But the drum world, there's a lot of camaraderie, and everybody's just very, very open and sharing and inspired by each other. There's 15-year-old kids today that could probably drum circles around me and that have technique that I would never even be able to touch. But it's all about the evolution. I mean, you know, if I look back to my influences, it started with Ringo and then Keith Moon and John Bonham and then Neil Peart. And as time went on, you know, musicians develop, music develop, drummers develop, and it's kind of an evolution. Then came the metal drummers, you know, Metallica and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then my place in the evolution was like around the 90s when I hit the scene and stuff like that. I was doing more of the progressive stuff. But, you know, in the 20 years since then, you know, the level of playing and technique in young drummers today, it's unbelievable. And you go on YouTube and you'll see like, literally, like 8-year-old kids playing, you know, my stuff, you know, that I was like 30 years old when I recorded. And it's just unbelievable how the bar keeps rising and rising and rising.
And you know what? Someday some kids are going to be able to go to YouTube and see Preston Elliott and Mike Portnoy have a major drum.
That's right. I had to keep reminding Preston that this would, especially in this realm and the Fanatic fan base for you, Mike, that this would go viral, whatever video is generated here. So this will live in either infamy or be celebrated, but we're going to generate some history here today, I think.
He's gonna take me down. I got a horrible feeling about this.
No.
My reputation is about to completely go down the toilet.
I was trying to think of a way before we play to describe what level of drummer I am. And so
Def Leppard.
back in the day, I played in a cover band, and that's when I was playing frequently. And then I got into radio, and I moved into an apartment. I couldn't play anymore. I just didn't have a kit that I could play. So. Here's where I stand now. Let's say you're at a wedding, okay, and having a good time, and all of a sudden, during a break, the drummer falls down and he breaks his arm. They still got a set left to go. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? I'm your man, all right? I'll step in. I'll finish the rest of the night. That's about the level of the drummer that I am. So I can handle certain situations, but I'm not. I've got a handful of little things in my bag of tricks, but that's it.
Yeah, but you played with Steel Panther on stage.
I did.
Really?
I nailed it, too.
And that was
man.
Good.
Cool. Yeah. Stick toss and everything.
Well, you have a serious advantage on me here because I don't think I've ever been up this early. So you have a real advantage.
That is
over
true.
Me.
Well, let's get to it, man.
Yeah. Go, dude, my heart is pounding through my chest.
Oh, man.
Right now, dude. All right.
We're getting behind the drums?
Yeah, I'm going to play the little one over here.
Like I said, I don't think I've ever played drums at this time of the morning, so you really have something on me.
Oh, come on, Precious.
I have to pee, man. I really got to pee.
All right, he's walking around.
You also have the advantage. I've never sat behind these drums. I have no idea. You've probably been warming up on your kit.
A little bit. Like, that'll make a difference.
All right.
Dude, I really got to take a leak. That was me, by the way. Wanted everybody to know that. No, that was Mike. My drum kit is a little bit... a little higher pitch, so you'll be able to tell the difference between.
Let me hear yours.
All right.
And this is mine.
All right.
Game over, man.
I reached over and I completely killed myself. So, Mike, you want to Want to do like two bars of four, trade off, or?
No, I just want to take you down, man. I don't do this trading off stuff. What are you talking about, this guy?
Why?
I don't know. What do you got?
Or do you just want to play a, see, we really work
just free form. Just do whatever you want. Name that tune.
Yeah, he got that.
Hockey teacher.
Yeah.
Hey, you give me one.
You name this.
Okay. Oh, Fool in the Rain. That's an awesome one. Great one. One of Bonham's greatest.
I'll give you another one, all right?
Okay.
These are the only two I thought of. I thought we might do this. So.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Rosanna. Got the swing down. He's got that shuffle swing down. That's Jeff Porcaro.
Jeff Porcaro. I just covered a Jeff Porcaro tune. I just did a cover of Lido Shuffle.
Oh, nice.
Skeggs. I didn't know that was Jeff Porcaro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You got that shuffle down, though. That's pretty good, man.
I love that ghosted note in
there. Give me some Rush. You got some Neil?
Yeah, but, I mean...
You said you knew natural science.
Yeah, of course.
I love that one. That's great.
What is that?
A text request for Honor Thy Father.
Honor Thy Father.
Oh, that's one of mine. I don't know. I don't,
I'll tell you what. How about this?
I forgot how it goes. Something like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool.
Can you do the intro to Paradigm Shift? Paradigm Shift?
God.
Thank you very much.
Jesus.
Wow.
How about this one?
All right.
Nice. That's one of yours as well, right?
Yeah.
What song is that? Okay. We use that as a bed, and I'm... 6 o'clock.
Six that, okay.
Yeah, we use a lot of your stuff coming in and out of songs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
For free.
For free. Yeah.
For free. And
our songs are great for disc jockeys because they're so long. Those are great for bathroom breaks.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Like, I was always impressed with Wipeout. I always thought that was pretty hard to play.
There's a video. You have you ever seen the drummer at the wrong gig?
No. Huh?
You never saw the drummer at the wrong gig?
What is it?
Oh, yeah.
8 million hits or something like that.
Yeah, that guy at the wedding guy.
Oh,
the wedding
guy.
Yeah, yeah, doing all the stick tricks.
There's
yeah,
a video of me and him doing Wipeout together on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
We did a drum festival together a couple of years ago. And
the guy's doing all the gestures and flipping the things around. Yeah, it's, totally. It's at a wedding. Yeah.
We did this drum show, and he played Wipeout, and then I came up and like took over the kid. We were playing together. It was fun, man.
That
guy is awesome.
Is he good? Yeah.
You know what? That thing got kind of passed around as a joke, but being a drummer, because he's playing Sharp Dressed Man, it's a very simple rhythm, but everything he's doing around that and still able to play that simple rhythm is really hard to
his
do.
His time is impeccable.
Yeah.
With all the tricks, he doesn't miss a beat. He's amazing. And he's, oh, look, there's a, on the screen. That's him in my dressing room showing me some of the tricks.
Okay.
That's on my practice pad kit when I was out with Avenged Sevenfold. There
that's
he is.
Awesome.
That's that move where it looks like he's getting attacked by killer bees.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with what he's talking about, the guy's just gesticulating wildly but still managing to play the song.
He was showing my son some cool drum tricks. Who is running the video? That's
right,
amazing that they pulled
that's
that up.
Yeah,
there you go. Control room, yeah.
Awesome, dude.
Wow. All right, can we do one more little back and forth?
Yeah, man.
All right, so here's what I want to do, because I semi had a little bit of a plan of what I might want to do.
Then proceed. Mike seems very amenable.
Awesome guy. Yeah. I'm dying over here.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I was going to play two bars of four, and then you play two bars of four, and we'll just kind of solo back and forth.
Okay.
And then maybe meet up for a rhythm in the middle or something like
that. Have a donut and a smoke. There you go, buddy.
Donut and smoke. All right.
Sticks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, my God, I got to change my underpants.
I need a hug from this guy.
You're the man. It was impossible not to.
I'm sorry.
It was very impossible cool. not to smile during that entire thing.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Well, that was awesome.
High five, dude.
That was phenomenal.
That is awesome.
So cool.
And I see what you say, Mike, about and what you guys say about the camaraderie between drummers. You know, I have a feeling you'd find that less amongst.
Well, no, it's only because I schooled him. If he
yeah, you kicked his ass. So that, no, what do you think? He's
awesome,
good, right? Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, he beats himself up, but he does a good job.
Now, I get, you know, listen, first of all, I'm blown away right now. I could cry right now.
No, come on, do it.
I'm not going to go that far. But, I mean, it's really, go back, Mike, to when you were a kid and the thought of being able to sit down with one of your idols, one of your heroes, and play with them. That's what I feel right now. So
I did. I did have that experience, and it completely. I was so intimidated. I got a chance to play with Bill Bruford.
You know,
20 years ago,
legendary.
I mean, through the years now, I've gotten to play with Terry Bozzio and all these guys.
you know, recently, but I'm like 20 years ago before I was, you know, really.
Before you made a name for yourself.
Yeah. And me and Bill got to jam together, and I was just so intimidated. I mean, I was scared.
Assless.
Yes. Yeah, and so.
Bill's a gentleman, isn't he?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. But he still schooled me.
Yeah. Hey, wow. I got an email from a guy that worked down at Philadelphia Insurance Company. He's on the third floor, and he's like, I can hear you guys on the third floor.
Oh, well. Sorry about that.
That will brighten their day.
We were actually, when they were testing out the drum kits, and obviously these studios are supposed to be soundproof, but our afternoon guy, Jackson, was on the air, and it was going on air through the wall. So there's some volume.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mike, it's been an honor. Thanks,
thank you,
Mike.
Man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mike Portnoy, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is. All right, we'll take a break and be right back. Stay there.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound!
Now!
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
3-3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We all got this email. Did you guys all read this from our friend Rich, who sent this in?
Yeah.
Richard Rise, by the way, who is the senior writer I saw at the bottom here. Senior writer at Philadelphia Magazine.
I'm sure he became senior writer after the piece he did on us.
Yes. But of course, it was award-winning.
Yes.
But no, he sent us this email, and it was so odd that we figured we'd let him get on the air and tell us what this is about.
I had never heard of this, but this speaks to me.
Weird.
I want to hear firsthand. Please welcome Richard Rise, Philadelphia Magazine. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, bud?
Good. I'm afraid they're going to revoke my title once they hear me talking about this on the air.
Yeah. Did you email us this because you yourself didn't want to cover this in Philadelphia Magazine?
I see a cover here. Yeah.
This is a little outside my usual beat, but I thought it was right up your alley. So.
All right. What's the story here?
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine at work yesterday, and he asked me if I'd ever tried Butterfish. And he's a funny guy, and I thought it was a joke, like Up Dog.
Right, yeah, what's Up Dog? Right. What's up with you, yeah.
So I walked right into it, all right, what's Butterfish? And he's like, no, really, it's the best fish I've ever had. It's amazing, it like melts in your mouth. But he tried it on a Friday night recently, and he said that Saturday afternoon, everything was going fine until he went to the bathroom, and he said, like, midway through, he moved some kind of alien. And
like, it decimated his intestinal system, correct?
Yeah, like Sigourney Weaver showed up in the
bathroom. Right, right. That bad.
It just shot right through him.
Yeah, and he spent the rest of the day with uncontrollable
diarrhea?
Absolutely. He said it was. He went through two pairs of underwear.
Oh my God!
And
you mean blew through or had to change them?
I think he blasted right through them.
And wow!
Then his girlfriend made him go on a trip to Target, and he was so paranoid that he stuffed his pants with paper towels.
Oh my God! go on in your email to say that this, you know, that you believe that this story might be going around and that other people might be aware of this. Correct?
Right. I mean, I thought it was hysterical, but I wasn't sure if he was putting me on yet. And he said, listen, trust me, Google butterfish and anal leakage.
Wow.
And at that point, I knew he was serious, and I did. And amazingly, page after page popped up with all sorts of disturbing links, like one that says Digestive and Bowel Disorders Forum. Oily orange diarrhea.
Oh, and this is as a and do they tie it back to the wonderful butterfish?
Yeah, multiple people saying like my wife talked me into trying the Hawaiian butterfish, and this guy says I used to laugh at the term anal leakage and thought it didn't exist, but gosh, did I find out.
So when Hawaiians are making those crazy noises and down dancing, it's because of this.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
You know what? I was really close to order. Butterfish. We went out to dinner with friends over the Christmas break, and we went to a restaurant that I normally get the linguine and crab, and then butterfish was on the menu, and I was like, oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Is it so you can find it on menus?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, this wasn't actually on the menu. It was one of the specials or whatever, okay. but So but, is it all? But I went with the crab and linguine. But, you know, and Rich, I responded to your email yesterday. I think I'm going to stay away from it because I really don't need any help pooping my pants.
Well, any right. food where when you Google it, what comes up is the phrase anal leakage, you're running a risk.
Well, I actually saw there is a restaurant in Westchester called Butterfish.
Really?
Let's go. You can't park anywhere near this.
And did you find out if they serve Butterfish?
They do serve Butterfish. I know nothing about them. And just to be clear, I mean, from what I understand, it doesn't look like this is a guarantee, but it's sort of like you're playing Russian roulette.
Well, I understand that their bathroom is the size of a parking garage.
Right. Does it have something to do with the way it's prepared?
I think it might have something to do with the oil that's specific
and I think
it, fish that it's hard to digest.
And I think it's the laxative gravy that you have to put over it.
That always does it.
But always does, yeah.
The kicker is that he said, and you know what, after all that, I would totally eat it again. It was that good.
And this is almost like a mythical, what if I were to tell you of a food that good, where it'll blow your sphincter out and yet you'll want it again.
You're compelled to have it.
That almost makes it more intriguing.
Yeah.
If it's that delicious.
Well, I want to try it now.
Me too. You want to go out to dinner tomorrow night?
To Butterfish?
Yeah.
I saw a Butterfish roulette.
Yeah. Butterfish roulette.
I know. But he says, you say that, I don't know how extensive your research was, Richard, but the average gestation period for the Butterfish, you would assume maybe 12 hours?
Well, approximately. A few of the posts I saw online said roughly the same thing, that they were fine that night and the next day. That's when the terror began.
Well, he didn't research. If he didn't do much research, Steve, look at the phone lines lighting up right now. So I tell you what, Rich, you stay by the radio. We're going to go to and take some of these calls, okay?
Absolutely.
And see if people do concur with that. But thanks for tipping us off on the Butterfish, all right?
My pleasure. I said when I thought of anal leakage, you guys were the first.
We love that.
Thank you so much.
We're looking for the anal leakage issue of Philly Magazine.
That's right. Philadelphia Magazine. All right, Richard Rise. Thanks, buddy.
Good talk yet.
Senior writer. All right, let me go to some of these calls. Let me go to John. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, John?
Hey, guy. Listen, man, I had it about a year ago.
Yeah.
And it does, man. It gets you about 6 to 8 hours later, man.
Really? And was
honest
it?
To God.
I mean, like, runs right through you.
Oh, it goes through you like you're going tomorrow.
Wow. And did this?
But it's good.
But it's good.
But it's good.
But it's good.
Crack. Did it go on all day? Were you loose all day?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
And because
at
a certain point, I've had the phase six. We've talked about this before. And phase six, again, just to reiterate here, is that level at which you have. There's nothing in the universe, no known force can stop you from evacuating, and many times into your pants. But it sounds like this is what this is. And sometimes even if you take Imodium with that level, it won't do anything.
I wonder if it has anything to do with people who don't normally eat fish, and then they think, you know, this is the special, and it's on the menu, and I'm going to try it tonight or
and
something like that.
The word butter sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah, the way the waiter describes it, and you're like, oh, you know what, I'm going to try this
delicious
tonight.
Fish, very flaky, and your ass will blow out. Well, that sounds good, honey. Waiter says my ass will blow out.
Because, Kathy, you don't eat fish, right?
No, but and I'm trying to find, like, a picture of it, but it just looks like this little, small, stupid thing. No, yeah, so I don't know if
Google poop.
Let me go to
sea butterfish.
No, but Nick, I'm sorry. I don't eat fish, and no.
You wouldn't even try it?
No.
I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning. Steve, are you there?
He's dead.
The quote on the screener says, removed oil slick from side of toilet for a week.
Wow.
After eating butterfish. Let me go to, I have Ken. Hi, Ken. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Durka Durka.
Hey, Durka. What's going on, Ken?
Oh, it's Durka Ken Durka. Allen, your friendly neighborhood concierge, weighing in with a food-related answer for you guys.
All right, go ahead.
Just so you know, you can also keyword Escalar, Escalar.
All right.
That's the formal name of the fish. And indeed, what Richard said about the orange slick, and I love food, and it's my life, but I stay far away from butterfish.
Is it your impression, Ken? I assume that obviously at a finer restaurant, they're not likely. The maitre d' in the tuxedo is, I must... Would you follow me, sir, into the back room? By the way, if you order this, your ass will blow out. I feel compelled to tell you. So, but amongst people or seafood aficionados, would you think this is well known that butterfish will destroy you?
It's well known. It doesn't affect everyone, Steve. It's you know, it seems like catch as catch can for those unlucky ones.
Just the lucky few.
Yeah. Right.
Ken, what does it actually taste like? You know, if you could compare it to maybe a hybrid of another seafood flavor?
Well, I think that the name kind of really sums it up only in the texture of the fish.
Yeah.
It's a very light white fish. It's just a very, it doesn't have a whole lot of flavor, so you can do a lot with it.
Okay.
So it might be like sole or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Man, my ass hurts. What the hell did I eat?
It's a Hawaiian fish, apparently.
Forget killer whale. My ass is erupting.
I'm glad to know this because I always order.
Oh, my God.
not always order, but if there's a special that a waiter will tell me about, and it's fish, a lot of times I will order it,
especially
if it's something that I'm not familiar with, you know, like amberjack or you know some fishes that you've never heard of. I'll ask what the texture is like, and is the flavor very strong? And I'll go for that. You know, I'll definitely try anything.
Let me ask you, sir, do you like to defecate in your pants? And this would be the fish for you. If you like a soft sort of pudding texture, cushioning your ass and the chair you're sitting, I recommend the butterfish.
You know what?
If you like lifting off your seat because your own fecal matter is propelling you vertically, then the butterfish, yes.
I'm not really worried. I'm going to try it because I 9 meals out of 10 that I eat out, I got to use the bathroom before I leave anyway.
Could you recommend a wine with the butterfish? Yes, or toilet paper.
No, somebody says that Roy's has it in Center City.
Roy's.
Yeah.
No. Roy's is awesome. Roy's
Hawaiian fusion.
Is Hawaiian fusion.
Doing it, Roy.
Hawaiian fusion cuisine. I love that place, man. They have good stuff, but I don't know about the butterfish.
maybe we can get our hands on some butterfish.
I'd try it. Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, real quick story for you. We had some about a year ago. We'll never go back to it because brought it home. I was blowing this orange oil. My wife was blowing this orange oil. And my cat was blowing.
Your cat?
My cat.
Your cat? Why? Wow.
Because it had a little bit of the butterfish, and it's not just us. It's goes all the way down the animal kingdom. So,
all right, just to have orange poop, I have to try it.
I don't know.
Orange oil.
Hang on, let me go
to Jed Clampett.
Let me go to Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Hey guys. Good morning. Hey, you rock.
Thank you. What's up, Kathy?
I have a quick comment.
Yeah.
I've had it twice at, am I allowed to say the name of the restaurant?
Sure.
Okay. I had it at Philadelphia Fishing Company.
Okay.
Two times on two separate occasions, probably about, I don't know, a year, 6 months apart. And I have big dietary issues, so it could be in the way it was prepared. I did not have one problem.
Okay.
All right.
At all, both times. I have celiac disease, so I tell them all about that, and then they prepare things special for me and not a problem.
Okay. Well, maybe it's like requesting they don't put MSG in it or something, right?
Or the sauce or any type of sauce that comes over top of it. So that's where my problem came
in. All right. Let me ask you, was it absolutely delicious?
It was.
All right.
Very good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I recommend it.
Okay.
Yes, sounds great.
There's a blog, believe it or not, called beyondsalmon.com. And it recommends all sorts of different types of fish that you can enjoy. And the heading on this blog is Escalar, which is the other name for butterfish, a fish with a caveat. And they basically go on to one story after another of people who tried it and then ended up having extremely high level of Gempilotoxin.
So, Gempilotoxin, the great boxer from the 50s. And in the center ring, Gempilotoxin.
Excessive gastric distress. So all of these people who have tried...
I don't take on Gempilotoxin. Every time I punch him, I get sprayed with poop. I don't know what that guy's eating. This is disgusting. I have to wash off my own trunks. Gimpy, come on, man. You're killing me.
Well, apparently it affects a lot of people who eat this fish.
Wow.
Well, hang on. Let me go to Jack. Hi, Jack. Good morning.
Morning. You guys work.
Yeah. We work.
What's up, Jack?
Hey, this butterfish, I've been using it for years, but you're not going to believe it, what it's used for. It is the preferred bait for offshore tuna fishing.
You know what? Yep, I just got an instant message that says we use butterfish for bait when we fish for bluefish and tuna.
Yeah, you can buy a flat of it, like 20-pound flat, 25-pound flat for like $50.
So it's cheap. Wow, I had no idea.
It's a very clean fish. There's no real guts to it. It's all white and silver, and that's why it doesn't attract sharks, but it'll attract the you know, the tuner tomorrow.
And proctologist.
Yeah. But I would never think about eating it.
Interesting. Well, apparently it's a delicacy, I guess, because they're serving it up at some restaurant.
But, you know, I can understand because once a year, and I'll pick the day, you know, where I have to go get White Castle, even though I know it will gut me like a deer.
I'm with you because the last couple of times that I've been there, it's full on, you know, like you can the vapors are green that come out after that, but they taste so damn good.
So you know you're setting yourself up for it, and this might be one of these cases where you just get that Jones and or you go, okay, I'm gonna endure the butterfish problem and go for it, and that's what happens.
I'm gonna go to one more quick call because we have a doctor on the line who wants to recommend something. Dr. V, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Good. Listen, the mechanism of action of this butterfish is as the gentleman from Philadelphia Magazine spoke about. It's the oils that are not absorbed, so it shoots out of you because you can't absorb it.
Okay.
And it's much like a medication we use for weight loss, which inhibits fat absorption. But the treatment for this would be some kind of a binding agent, like a lot of oatmeal or Metamucil, something that binds up the oil so it doesn't shoot out of you like a big osmotic load.
These are all medical terms, obviously.
An osmotic load.
What do you recommend eating? Velcro?
Well, I think if you had this at dinner, what you want to try to do is anticipate it's going to probably happen in the first 4 to 8 hours, because that's how long it would take to get through your system.
Let me ask you, is some sort of ingredient, or is it the oil from butterfish itself? You see,
I don't know exactly, but I would suspect it's something in the oil in the fish itself that we just don't absorb, and obviously felines don't either. So that's why we can't absorb. Right, exactly. It just comes through us since we can't absorb it.
Do you actually hear whee as it comes out of your ass?
I don't know about that, but we just do a study on that sometimes.
Wow, yeah.
This is on that site. Doc. It says these large oil molecules are hard to digest and may lead to intestinal cramping and diarrhea. In 1992, it got so bad the FDA even advised suppliers not to import it. So the government got involved because people weren't able to eat it and digest it properly.
We've got to do something about this butterfish.
I would think so if it's causing
that. I've been on the crapper for quite a while. And mommy's getting quite upset. Well, she bought these lovely drapes, and, well, we're going to have to burn them. I didn't know.
Once you have to use what you have to use, you know.
My fellow Americans, there's a real disaster brewing on the horizon. And it's a delightful little fish. But, oh, my God, it'll blow your ass right out. As Americans have to step up and then sit down.
Oh, dear God.
I say we get Roy's in. And,
you want to get Roy's?
They can make you butterfish.
Cook some up? All right, let's contact them and see if we can do it. I'll do it.
We're going to have a delayed reaction, but we'll have to report after the fact. Unless we want to wear the fecal equivalent of the ankle bracelet that sifts alcohol.
Yeah. No, we'll do it overnight, and we'll just log our results. And
mommy, I have another log.
And we can find out exactly how each one of us responds to eating the butterfish. I'd never heard of that. Richard Rives from Philadelphia Magazine, thank you for cluing us into the butterfish. But let's follow up on that. We got to take a break.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll start with a little negative feedback.
All right.
Egyptian protesters threw tomatoes and shoes at Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
At her motorcade on Sunday during her first visit to Egypt since the election of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi.
So what if the guy threw a shoe at me?
Clinton wasn't hit by the items, which were thrown as U.S. officials and reporters walked to the motorcade after she gave a speech on domestic rights. Protesters chanted, "Monica, Monica."
Yeah.
As a reference to the affair with Bill Clinton, yes.
They also chanted, "There she was, just a walking down the street."
Really? Well, that's an easy one to chant to.
I mean, that's just diddy-dum-diddy-do.
So anyhow, others chanted, "Leave Clinton." I just thought it was classic that they were throwing tomatoes and shoes.
By the way,
at the motorcade.
That's the job to have. Just have a whole bunch of tomatoes at the ready for angry mobs.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know what? Tomato merchant.
Tomatoes, tomatoes!
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment is warning patients who went to an oral surgeon over the past decade to get tested for HIV and hepatitis after the doctor had been found to reuse needles for procedures on multiple patients.
Oh, my God.
Like, for years,
Kathy.
Let me
ask you something.
I would kill myself.
How expensive is a friggin' needle?
It can't be that much, right?
You're reusing needles. I mean,
oh, my God.
How basic a principle is it using a different needle?
They should execute him.
Steven Stein may have reused needles.
Between
multiple...
this and your crazy sex habits and cars.
And your brother's
an entirely different person.
Was that
last
extreme?
Week we learned how you murder little animals. Now you can't stop banging in cars.
And you know, you put the seat all the way back and then you get on your knees.
There you go.
All right, Steven Stein may have reused needles on multiple patients between September 1999 and June 2011. This guy did this for over 10 years.
I mean, but Kathy's right. He could literally have put... signed a death sentence for people.
Yeah, it could have exposed people to HIV, hepatitis B, and or C, or other bloodborne diseases. Needles and syringes were used repeatedly, often days at a time, the department said. They began their investigation after a report of unsafe injection practices at Stein's office. It said it found syringes and needles were saved and used to inject medications from one patient to another.
The tip-off should have been in his brochure, which read, "Do you want a beautiful smile and AIDS?"
The health department is working to obtain all of Stein's patient dental records to notify patients directly that they should get tested.
There is no point in sex if you don't have an orgasm. I mean, really.
Come on, Beth.
The best part about both those comments, they're not even taken out of context.
No, they're...
And for those who didn't know, those are pre-recorded. That was from earlier this morning.
If you ring Kathy's door, that's what you hear.
It's hard to tell. A judge has ordered a trial for 39-year-old Jesusa Tatad.
Tatad.
Who, in a jealous rage, went into her sleeping... Tatad. Who, in a jealous rage, went into her sleeping ex-husband's room and allegedly poured a pot of boiling water over him.
Oh,
whoa!
Man.
Tatad was allegedly upset because she believed her ex-husband was seeing another woman. A couple had divorced, but were still together. At the time, she doused him with hot water. Her fiery rage left him with second and third degree burns across 60% of his body, which eventually killed him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. As if boiling water wasn't enough.
Was he indeed cheating on her?
I don't know. Oh. As the man jumped up out of bed and ran into the bathroom, Tatad...
He stepped on a Lego.
Allegedly then hit him in the head with a baseball bat. And it wouldn't have mattered if he was cheating anyway. They were ex... That was his, her ex.
Yes!
And they lived in the same house still. The victim was still able to run out of their apartment complex and flag down a security guard who called 911. He was taken to the hospital where he remained in critical condition until he died a few days later.
Can you imagine the agony?
Tatad has been charged with murder and torture for the attack.
Well, yeah, because you're getting the water poured on you, and then if you're wearing clothes, that hot water is sticking to your clothes, so you can't get out of it, so you're just burning the whole time.
Yep. And then finally, we'll end with this. A 62-year-old woman attacked by a suspected teenage vandal taught the boy a painful lesson before police arrived. Carol Ann Lovejoy said she saw three teenage boys hiding behind some bushes by a daycare that had been vandalized before. She was concerned that they might be tagging. She said, "I told them if they didn't get out of there, I was going to call the police." Lovejoy said two of the boys ran off, but one came at her. She goes, "What are you going to do, beat up an old lady?" And he hit the phone out of my hand, took a swing. At that point, I need him in his private parts, and his response was, "That was pretty good." But she also gave him a right to the chest, but it didn't stop him. He continued in his aggressive stance, she said, so I gave him a little pop to the nose, a little left jab.
Wow.
And the punch was enough to slow him down.
Is this a picture of the woman?
Police arrived. That's the woman.
The hell is that?
That's a woman?
That's a manly woman.
That's a man.
And,
yeah, that's a man who says he's a woman.
And Lovejoy said she'll continue to watch over the daycare, but she kicked the kid's ass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there you go. That is what I have in your bizarre file for right now. We'll take a break. Stay right there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
I want to elevate. New music. More of everything that rocks. Elevate.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, Chris Humphries says he's not convinced that ex-girlfriend Myla Sinaj is 3 months pregnant with his baby. Humphries issued a statement reading, quote, Chris not believe Myla because baby making stick only go to poo-poo door.
Oh, dude. Wow.
That was in the statement?
That was in his statement.
Wow. Get a publicist or something like that.
He probably should. Vital records for Andy Griffith were filed just 2 days after he passed away, confirming that the cause of death was a heart attack. The 86-year-old Griffith was reportedly found in his backyard where he had been relaxing by doing the hammer throw. Kind of old to be doing that.
Yeah.
Probably put a lot of strain on his heart. And finally, Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh took the stage in North Korea during a concert for new leader Kim Jong-un in an unusual performance featuring Disney characters. After the performance, it was off to the re-education camp where Mickey was heard chanting, Death to the imperialist United States.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
The mystery of life, at last I found thee. Oh, I know at last the secret that everybody sang.
You do it with the reverb, Steve?
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. Oh.
Victor Herbert?
I think he wrote it.
Hebert.
It's his master. Oh, it is Hebert. No, it's Herbert.
Hebert.
This is, it's Nelson Eddy.
Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald were a pairing. Oh, I don't know why I know that.
For 1935.
A film in 1935. The movie is called Naughty Marietta.
Naughty Marietta.
It's an operetta and two. It's an operetta.
Ah.
And two acts with libretto by Rita Johnson Young and music by Victor Herbert.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Set in.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Set in New Orleans.
Set in New Orleans approximately when?
1780.
Long after the yellow fever destroyed the population of Philadelphia.
Actually, yellow fever was in 1793. But anyhow.
Well,
throwing them on.
Sorry. Okay. I'm back. I'm good. Mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Anyway, I'll tell you this.
Oh, yellow fever has taken its hold on me.
I know at last the secret of it all.
Oh, I just puked up something that looks like motor oil.
No, let's see here. It took place New Orleans in 1780. It tells how Captain Richard Warrington is commissioned to unmask and capture a notorious French pirate.
Name?
Calling himself Bras Prick.
What a prick!
No, Bras Prick.
Oh! Oh, the pirate's such a prick, and soon I'll nab him. Oh, I'll find him and I'll sink his stinking ship.
And how he is helped and hindered by a high-spirited runaway, Contessa Marietta. The score,
and that's Jeanette McDonald, right?
Includes many well-known songs, including "Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life." Hang on, let me go to Craig. Oh, Craig Ligons is on the line. Hey, Craig, how you doing, man?
I'm great, thank you, white folks. Preston, I'm surprised you don't recognize this song. This is what Madeline Kahn sang when she lost it to Peter Boyle and Young Frankenstein.
Is that what she sings?
Yep.
Yeah. I had forgotten about that. I know she goes into the song, but I forgot it was that song.
It also pops up in a number of Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yes, and as a black man, I'm ashamed I know that, so I ever heard of it.
Well, I consider it an attribute.
It's in black and white, Craig. So.
There we go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember the black part in it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. Oh, sweet. Come on, man. Sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. I know.
That is my new favorite piece of music.
What woman would not run from that?
She's screaming it in her face.
Come here. Come here.
Oh, sweet mystery of life.
Her hair is blowing back in his breath.
It's like having Michael Bolton sing right into your face. The daytime Emmy Awards were overshadowed by a tragedy at the Beverly Hills Hilton just hours before the ceremony began on Saturday. Police confirmed that two people were found dead at the hotel, reportedly from a murder-suicide. Beverly Hills Police Lieutenant Mark Rosen said that the man and woman were found dead from gunshot wounds in a hotel room.
Weren't they like an elderly couple, too?
Didn't give details on their relationship. Yeah, they were older, nor would they comment on whether the deaths were connected to the Emmy Awards. Coroner's officials noted the deceased were a man in his late 60s and a woman in her mid-50s. The hotel was the same place where Whitney Houston was found dead earlier this year, and the day before that was the day before the Grammy Awards.
Well, since it was the daytime Emmy Awards, weren't there a number of actors there who play doctors?
Yeah, there were, actually. I don't know if they were called in to help out or not. But despite that tragedy, the daytime Emmys went on as scheduled. General Hospital was the night's big winner.
There you go.
Taking home five trophies, including Best Drama. The show stars Anthony Geary and Heather Tom, also won for Best Leading Actor and Actress. Regis Philbin was set up for his last season on Live, winning Best Talk Show Host with Kelly Ripa.
It's quite an honor. Of course, I thought I'd bring down the evening. A little bit of a tragedy took place upstairs. A murder-suicide. Anyway, this is a great award. Thank you.
While the...
Apparently an elderly couple, we assume that she did something to upset him. He beat her to death and then blew his own brains out. But it's a special evening and one that I won't forget.
Food's great. Everything is
I just want to thank everyone tonight and while we're sitting here enjoying this fine meal here, of course, with all our great compatriots and co-workers. I just wanted to mention this... an old gentleman upstairs, I guess room 511, beat his wife with the chair and killed her, caved in her skull, and then what he did, he was so distraught, he had a gun in his carrier there. He blew his brains out. So let's not lose sight of that while we award the different awards this evening. Thank you very much.
Steve Morrison making murder-suicide funny.
The Live of Regis and Kelly was named.
I wouldn't want this evening to pass without just mentioning something tragic that happened upstairs. Apparently, an old couple just got into a brutal fight. He caved in a skull. He was just smashing away. It was like looked like something like a Hormel chili when it was done. And then that he was so distraught, apparently because he's got some sort of sexual thing going on. So I guess he likes to have sex with dead bodies. That's what I heard. Anyway, long story short, he blew his brains out. Thank you. Good night. They're playing me off, so I can't tell you how he was pleasuring himself when they found him.
I'm sorry, Regis. We have to...
Hey, Regis, did you know that Whitney Houston died in the very same hotel?
Wow.
It is a... It is a notorious hotel.
Yeah. By the way, this is like a couple rooms down from where Coco Whitney Houston killed herself.
Coco.
Regis's last FU to the daytime Emmys.
Despite its slip in ratings, Today was named Best Morning Show. Elsewhere, Jeopardy was named Best Game Show, while Dr. Oz was named as Best Informative Talk Show. Very happy for our friend Dr. Oz.
Did your buddy win one?
And my friend Todd Newton won Best Game Show Host for Family Game Night. I'm very proud of him.
Family Game Night is on the Game Show Channel?
Nope.
What's it on?
Hub.
Oh, it is Hub?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at least it was last time I saw it.
No, I was thinking of ABC Family, but no, you're probably right.
No, and I found out and I texted him on Saturday, and he was excited, and he'd sent me a picture back of him holding up his Emmy statue.
Emmy, right?
Yeah.
So did he get up? It wasn't like an award ceremony earlier today.
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, and I didn't see the Emmys, but that was very cool. I mean, he and I were good friends. I went up to Boston last year to see him, and we worked together early in our
That's
radio
cool.
career, so it was really, really cool. So,
great to see Todd Newton here. What an award early this evening at the place down the street next to the Whataburger. By the way, did I mention the murder-suicide that took place?
So anyhow.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And Dr. Oz, man, the dude works it. He deserves it.
Yep. Very happy. All right, what else we have here? Zsa Gabor, her husband, Friedrich Van Anhalt.
Have you met my wife? She's right here in this cup. right down there. It's the bottom next to the tea bag.
I mean, what's, God bless her, but what is left of Zsa Gabor at this time?
That's her saying hi.
Exactly, sweetie.
Dude.
He has been appointed her
temporary... No, but seriously, it's a serious condition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has been appointed her temporary conservator under a new agreement. Gabor's daughter, Constance Francesca Hilton, has been fighting him for years about managing the 95-year-old's finances and health.
It was weird, President, because they were at the lawyer's office, and he started to reach for what the lawyer thought was a pen, but he actually pulled Zsa out of his pocket.
But the two reached an agreement that was approved... It's approved by a judge on Wednesday.
He is, he's a scoundrel. Oh, I mean, he's really a scoundrel.
She had nine husbands throughout her life, and you mentioned the Hilton connection, Preston, and I didn't know what that was, but she was married to Conrad Hilton at one point, who was the patriarch in that whole, you know, the Paris Hilton and the whole Hilton family.
She was a highly coveted, you know,
well, she's gorgeous.
She was in her heyday. She was, absolutely stunning.
And very beautiful and continental with that accent and everything, and very attractive.
Her sister Ava was as well. Yeah. Not as showy as Zsa, but they were both, you know.
Ava was on Green Acres, right?
Yes.
Ava played, I forgot.
Oliver's, what was it? He was Oliver and she was...
I can't remember.
Shaniqua.
Remember?
What was her name on that goddamn show? I can hear Oliver, but I can't believe I'm having a brain fart. Nick, can you look it up?
Yep. All right. Well, anyhow, as he is looking that up, the settlement means that several attorneys will have financial oversight of the situation, and Hilton will be allowed to visit her.
Lisa Douglas.
Lisa.
Lisa, yep.
Lisa, right. Lisa.
All right.
And the cult chain.
So anyhow, he's the conservator.
Right? And I think Ava was actually hotter than
Zsa. I thought
Zsa.
She was a little more attractive.
She was the more amiable, sakiable. She was really, and on the show, she was very funny.
Yeah, she was. Let's see here. Breaking news.
Yeah, what? No, I knew that.
Serious breaking news.
Actual sad breaking news.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hold on a second here. There we go. Here we go.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Former UNC president Bill Friday says that Andy Griffith died this morning.
Really?
Yeah. He's a close friend of the actor. The 86-year-old actor died at his Dare County home around 7 this morning. Griffith attended UNC Chapel Hill, where he earned a degree. And then it goes on to tell his backstory.
One of the greatest TV actors of all time. Andy Griffith Show. Legendary. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Also a great, just a great actor himself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Andy Griffith Show.
There you go.
Starring Andy Griffith.
Oh, man.
Loved him, and he also played Matlock.
Yeah, yeah. And
he was Pacino's lover in Cruising.
He was not.
All right, so
actually, maybe, I don't know. I never saw Cruising. But
could have been.
Could have been.
Yeah.
The loving tribute lasted a grand total of 25 seconds.
I tried.
I was thinking, can you do a slow, sad version of the Andy Griffith theme?
Why don't you give it a whirl?
I can't alone. I was hoping collectively.
No. It's poignant, not sad. What you need is like a monk droning underneath.
Yeah.
Make it more ominous. Oh. All right.
Guy just died.
Wait,
I don't think
it.
He just died.
Go ahead. He did, this
morning. Been about an hour.
Can we get the monk droning? Go ahead.
What?
No. Doesn't work.
No.
It's such a peppy, it's an iconic image of him walking along with Ron Howard.
The fishing poles.
Fishing poles, heading down to the swimming hole.
Andy Griffith.
No way.
Starring Andy Griffith. Ron Howard. Satan. The Altered Mind, The Brides of Dracula, Charles Manson.
We're dancing on this man's grave.
Don't ever come to us for a loving tribute.
He was a comedic genius and would appreciate the comedy.
I'll tell you what, how many times on this show, Preston, how many times on the show have we said one of the seminal
great, yes. great TV shows of all time.
Yep,
Andy
I agree.
Griffith. There, you will not find a funnier, better show. And he was a super talented guy. He was one of
and
the
actually,
producers.
Before he did the Andy Griffith Show, I remember seeing old like he had put out comedy albums.
Yes,
and
he was a homespun kind of you yep. know.
Yep, exactly.
What is this case?
Oh, slow down even more. Can you slow it down even more?
Oh, you know what? I could.
Yeah, hold on.
That's not how he died.
The Andy Griffith Show. Opie Noise. Andy Griffith.
Okay. I'm putting a stop to this.
No.
He had been back from the Korean War. As you remember, this is the plot line of the story. He had these episodes where he'd occasionally shoot up the courthouse.
What, Casey?
Everything tastes better when it sits on a Ritz.
What do you want me to do here?
I don't know. Donnie,
go to this caller?
Donnie's calling in because right. he wants a whistle, sadly.
Hey, Donnie.
Gadzooks.
Donnie, you wanted to try to whistle the Andy Griffith song, sadly?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead. Can you
see
tell?
If you can do it?
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's still hard. No. I just yeah. think tonally
the melody is just too jovial.
It is jovial.
Thank you, Donnie.
I can't believe this is happening.
Well, listen, this is the way we process our pain.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, come on.
I should know by now.
There's no right or wrong
way.
He's
86.
Mm-hmm. There's a text that came in that said, this is the funniest sad death ever.
Yeah.
Good way to look at it.
I go.
86 years old. He's also in a movie, I think it's called, Nick, look for it, A Man of the People, or where he plays a politician who uses his homespun nature to sort of sucker people in, but he's a real bastard.
What is that called again?
I think it's called A Man of the People.
There was
also
one
in Double Indemnity.
No, that's Frederick like Murray.
But okay. You know what? There was one. And it was a made-for-TV movie. It was him.
Thank you for coming in with the wrong information.
Yeah. It's Bill Weston.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Fred McMurray. Yeah.
I think Dorothy.
But there was a made-for-TV movie with him and Jack Tripper.
John Ritter.
Oh. And John Ritter, where he played John Ritter's estranged father, who was just... He was evil. He, like, murdered people and stuff. Oh, it was just Andy Griffith playing this character.
He could play a real bastard.
Yeah.
Do you see anything in his film career?
What was the name of it again?
Man of the People or Facing the Crowd?
From Here to Eternity?
No.
Sounds like it.
Street Killing?
Not a Facing
Street
the Crowd.
Street Killing.
I don't know.
All right.
About what year do you think that would have been?
That'd be in the early 60s, late 50s.
Oh, go back further.
Facing the Crowd. There it is, pressing up on the on the screen here.
Okay.
Yeah. Bud Schoenberg, Ilya Kazan, who directed On the Waterfront. Great director, great movie. And you can see him being decidedly non-Andy Taylor.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. Well, foreign listeners, have you guys ever heard of Andy Griffith before?
No,
not at all.
There's not a statue in Madrid of Andy Griffith.
How about you?
I mean, we have the same television in Canada. Yeah. We're not on the other side of the
world.
Just
checking. Just checking. I cannot include you in the conversation. If
no,
you want to
definitely include me, but he's a legend and, you know.
What about Oliver? Germany? Good. You ever heard of him?
No. Oh, come on.
All right, see, no dice.
You would probably know him as Herr Sheriff.
No, Der Kommissar.
Der Kommissar.
Yeah, that's what he would have been.
Yes! Where is Bonnie? I have noticed things. Otis lets himself into the jail cell.
How would Floyd the Barber talk in German? Because that would just be messed up.
And would you like a trim?
Do you remember? I love the cast of characters on the show is great. They had the dude always threw the bricks. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Threw the bricks.
You always throw bricks.
Oh. I love you.
Remember that guy?
No, I don't. Yeah. I remember Otis the Drunk. I remember Floyd.
Otis the Drunk would let himself into the jail cell.
Yep. And
the
because he knew he needed to be in the tank.
That's right. He'd put so he'd incarcerate himself.
And then you had Floyd the Barber. You had Aunt,
that's how he always talked.
Aunt B.
Yes.
And you had Clara, whom you never saw. She was the operator. Remember, they'd pick up the phone and ring it and say, Clara, I need to talk to the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
Who else?
Jim Neighbors was Goober. Gomer. Gomer
was Gomer.
Jim Neighbors was
who just
George
died.
Lindsay. Yes.
George Lindsay just died. And then were there any others?
There was Mrs.
People that would come and go.
The girlfriends. And then there were the Hillbilly family. Do you remember?
Oh, dude, I know the Darlings.
The Darlings. The,
believe it or not, the first...
the Jug Band.
First radio station I worked at, they were from Salem, Missouri.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not.
No one knows what we're talking about.
I know. They were, but they also went on to the Beverly Hillbillies
as
well. Okay, so this breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith died.
Murder-suicide.
No, not murder-suicide. In fact, I don't know how he died. It may have been a murder-suicide. It could have been
unironic. Well, it was peacefully in his home. Is that what he said?
They said they saw a wolf dog leaving the house.
No one said that.
Andy Griffith.
All right, anyhow.
Brought to you by Massengill.
All right, we should take a break.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and come back in a minute, and all these people on the phone lines want to whistle.
You can't do it. I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Well, no. It's too tonally pleasant. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to conjure up feelings of going down to the swimming hole with Dad and looking at his magazine.
I mean, it'd just be inappropriate at this point.
Wait, going down to the swimming hole with Dad and looking at his magazine?
Yeah. You don't see that. You ever see that? What is that? What's that down there? I just want to fish, Dad. No, you want to see this.
What's she doing?
Yeah, what's she doing with those three guys? On that picture there in that magazine. You don't see that.
This started off sincere.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
No. For, like, but if you let us keep going,
by the end of this, we'll decide that we hate it.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll be back. Stay where you are.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.